Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, July 10th, 2023, and as I have said many times, I love my country. It's my government I am very afraid of. The insanity just continues to get worse out there. And with that being said, what does it mean to be an American? What is the American creed? I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. A perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Would you agree with that? To me, it seems pretty reasonable, and it's really what we should be doing. However, based on the people that we have in public office today, we've got some work to do. Now, tonight, we're going to really focus mostly on Ron DeSantis, and I'm hoping that I get a few of my Floridian friends out there, because I think they have some very strong opinions on Mr. DeSantis. But we'll get there in just a couple of minutes. First off, I wanted to mention a couple of other things, like not sure if you have seen the Sound of Freedom. It was a very enlightening movie. I would encourage people to go see it. This is the trafficking of children. It's just a very despicable thing. It's evil, and the role that the U.S. plays in it is even more evil. We're supposed to be a country with the values, human values that we believe that individuals all individuals, alienable rights given to us from our Creator, and all these different things, and yet we go and do some of the most ungodly, evil things to fellow humans, and even more so when you think that so much of this is being done to children who are just vulnerable and don't understand what's going on. And you can take, while the Sound of Freedom was in reference to trafficking, sex trafficking, child trafficking stuff, it really ties into what's happening today with children in general. You know, when you go and think about them doing this to children and then what they're doing to our children in our schools, the transgendering and all this other insanity, it's just totally disgusting. It really is. So if you haven't seen the movie, please do. And then maybe we'll follow up in a little bit more in-depth discussion about what's happening with this. I was on a call just yesterday on another Blog Talk call, and there were some that were saying that they thought the movie was exaggerating the extent of the problem and things like that. And I don't think that's true based on some people I've actually known who were working in that type of business. And then when you think about our role, what we do at the border, how we have the Epstein Islands and all, and the money that seems to pay for these children. We have a pervert in our White House who seems to like little girls. I mean, it's all pretty weird. It's all disgusting. So give everybody a little bit of time to see the movie, because it came out on Independence Day. And then maybe we can talk a little bit more about it. And then, let's see, what was it on Independence Day? There was another Supreme Court, or I shouldn't say Supreme Court, Justice of, was it Supreme Court ruling, whatever, the ruling about Biden overstepping his bounds. And it's little by little we're starting in reference to freedom of speech and stuff. We're making some progress. I just don't know if we're making it fast enough. The other is I wanted to make sure people realize it was land acquisition. China, how much land China has bought, and there appears to be some shell companies under all this kind of stuff. And the information, I'll quickly go to it. Let's see here. It was official probe, $1 billion land purchase near air base, and apparently this China is probably the ones doing this. 1 billion land purchases near air base. And when we talk anything to do with this kind of transactions, which we will talk about what DeSantis and what Florida is doing on that selling to foreign interests, you got to go back and make sure you understand Executive Order 12803. This was from a Republican by the name of George H.W. Bush, who went out there and said infrastructure privatization in very, very vague, vague terms, wide open terms. Infrastructure asset means any asset financed in whole or in part by the federal government and needed for the functioning of the economy. Examples of such assets include, but are not limited to, roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity supply facilities, mass transit, rail transportation, airports, ports, waterways, water supplies, facilities, recycling and wastewater treatment facilities, solid waste disposal for housing, schools, prisons, and hospitals. This is all for sale to anybody in the world, including China. And we'll talk some more about, I think if Nathan's out there listening, he may chime in a little bit later, in reference to Arizona and their water supply that's been sold to Saudi Arabia. This is what our government is doing to us. And this was back in 1992 when this started with the New World Order guy, George H.W. Bush, a Republican. So you got the enemies on both sides. You really got them on both sides. See, what was the other? Then the other thing is there's the report came through what they're calling the Chinese shock troops that are now inside the U.S. So because of our open border, we said, China, would you come in and just take over our country? Isn't that what our government has done? If this isn't treason, what is? Would someone please tell me? And as we go through this discussion tonight, let's talk about what Ron DeSantis will do about it. We already know what the guy in office is doing because he's been, you know, bought and sold by many foreign entities, but definitely the Chinese Communist Party, and also by how many people in Washington, D.C. Mitch McConnell, where do you think his loyalty is? It's all pretty sick. So that's the other, and then the one other thing here is, and I sent this out, many of you would have received it, the simplicity of hand counts for elections. I sent my information to my elected local and state and saying, if anybody tells you, especially your supervisor of elections, if they tell you they can't do this, explain to them very nicely as much as you can that either you're misinformed, uneducated, incompetent, or maybe you're just too lazy to do the job. Maybe, you know, you don't want to do this, or maybe you support corruption. Maybe you don't want to, maybe they're not telling you the truth if, in fact, they try to say they can't do this because it's all too expensive. That's the excuse they come back with, these supervisor elections. Oh, it's too expensive to do a manual count. Well, how much are those machines, and then how much, what is the real cost of having your election hacked? Your total fraud of your elections, which is what we saw. What's the price tag on that one? You know, so there's just a lot of stuff going on. And when we talk elections, we definitely have to talk about good old DeSantis and what Florida has done to these elections on his behalf. So I just want to throw those couple of things out there. Focus on why DeSantis is. Well, I put it out there, the good, bad, and the ugly. Why is DeSantis running for office now? Why is he running for the POTUS position? And I'm going to say, before I get into it, and I'm going to get Karen, I see Karen out there, and I think I see Cindy out there, too. Hopefully they're going to really love talking about some of these things going on in the state of Florida and where Governor DeSantis places and all this stuff. The Governor DeSantis did a lot of good stuff. He initially participated in the lockdown, but he didn't stay on it. He got off that train really fast and turned things around, and he's done a lot of good things. He's you know, the woke comes to Florida to die kind of thing, stopping the transgender sexualization of children in the schools, and a lot of good things. So I don't want anybody to think I don't like anything DeSantis has done, because that wouldn't be true. He's done a lot of good things. However, he seems to have a split personality, or he's gone to the dark side, whatever you want to call it. Because first off, to go out there and have Florida change the laws, change state laws, to let him run for the president of the United States for POTUS is despicable to me. Don't go and change the laws because you happen to be in a position to manipulate it on your behalf. That was wrong. So that right there. And while he was running for governor, people kept saying, are you going to run for POTUS? If you're going to do that, we need somebody else. We need a full-time governor. We don't need a part-time governor. And right now, I feel like Florida really doesn't even have a governor. I mean, we have a bobblehead because what is he doing as governor now? I mean, really. And again, Karen and Cindy answer some of those questions. So you cannot be the governor of the state of Florida and be a candidate for president at the same time. There's no way. It's not humanly possible. There's too many demands on both. So right now we don't really have a governor. And like I say, changing the law for the governor, that's not right. You don't do that. And then when we go into the elections, we had a show about what's happened with Florida elections. The nonsense of them saying no paper ballots, trying to block them. This was through the Supervisor of Elections Association, who were the lobbyists for that. And so that's why I'm really asking, go to your Supervisor of Elections. If they say they have to have corrupt machines, ask them why. Why do you have to have a machine that can be hacked into? And if you can't figure out a way with all the information out there on how to do the manual count and paper ballots, then you're not qualified for the job. You need to go and do something else. People got to do that. But then where is Governor DeSantis on that discussion? And I got to stress that I think he's a establishment candidate. Look who he surrounds himself, look who he's getting his money from. If you're going to surround yourself with the Bush clan, the Karl Roves, if you're getting money from McCarthy's friends out in California, McCarthy is backstabbing Trump. Well, Trump was the only reason why McCarthy had any chance of getting that House speakership was because was out there supporting him too. Trump really needs to stop supporting these people. I mean, I don't know what it is with him. He drinks their Kool-Aid way too much too, I guess. I don't know. What is the art of the deal that he thinks he's getting? Because his deals with these crooks, the evil people, not really crooks, but the evildoers of Washington, they keep stabbing him in the back. How many times is he going to let him stab him in the back? So that one doesn't make any sense. And then, I've got some other questions out there on the show page. What is DeSantis going to do? What is his position about the January 6th political prisoners? Because that's what they are, political prisoners. And what's the national security treason? What's he think about immigration? What's he think about the fact that who should be being impeached right now? He's a lawyer. He ought to be coming up with a little bit more information. And maybe he's saying stuff out there and I'm just not hearing it, which is a possibility. There's a lot of information out there. But right now, I need to know more about what he's going to do about the big issues. But I also need to have some reason to believe in his ethics and integrity. And right now, I have a lot of questions there based on what has happened here in Florida, which we will at some point, we can talk about property rights and the foreign ownership and the games that they played with some recent legislation, which was supposed to block Chinese ownership of land, but the language in there looks like you can twist it pretty good. Looks like there's some loopholes. If I can try to pull up that particular law, legislation they just passed, I'll try to put some of that out there, that kind of stuff. And going back to DeSantis has done good stuff. He's pushed back on ESG, so that's good. But what else is he going to do on that, and what's he going to do as far as the central bank digital currency routine? You know, what's he going to do now? What's he think about the Federal Reserve? And he's out there saying something now. Apparently, when he was getting money from McCarthy's friends out in California, he was out there saying he opposes China tariffs. So, I'm losing a lot of faith and credibility, whatever you want to call it. He's doing things that are just so wrong. And why his decision to try to run for president right now doesn't make any sense. So what is the real game that DeSantis is playing? What is his game here? Then we can talk, obviously, about the climate change, which right now Florida is converting a lot of agriculture, food-providing agricultural land into stupid solar farms that do nothing but destroy our food supply. So what's he doing on this? You know, there's there's a variety of things. And then what would he do? Crimes against humanity, and what's going to happen with the next plandemic? Because there's going to be one. It's going to be a plandemic. We have Bill Gates out there trying to set poisonous malaria-carrying mosquitoes. He's got some other stupid thing, because Bill Gates isn't going to stop until he kills off as many people, till he depopulates the planet to where he thinks it should be, and that we eat the way he thinks we should eat. What's DeSantis think about all that kind of stuff? So, I mean, there's plenty of things to talk about, and I really want to focus on what DeSantis is doing. And this is vetting DeSantis. I call this the vetting DeSantis, and we should do this with every candidate. Obviously, a little bit slightly different. But to me, these questions really qualify for most candidates for what they're running as. If they're going to be handling stuff at your local level, they should be doing. These questions are valid to all of them. But here, because DeSantis is running for president, I think we need to take a little bit different look at it and really scrutinize where he stands and can he be trusted? Because right now I already see him as an establishment candidate, and we don't need more establishment. We've already got enough of that out there. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead to Karen. And Cindy, just press that button one if you when you are ready to join. If you would like to join, feel free to let me know that you're ready. And hello,
can
Karen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
Hi
hear
there.
You just
How
vaguely.
You?
It's a little bit faint.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having – okay, let's see if we can do this.
And I'm going to go ahead and open the mic for Cindy at the same time. But, Karen, go ahead. I know that you watched. You saw the movie The Sound of Freedom. So anything you want to say on that? And then we dive into good old DeSantis.
Well, I have a good question for DeSantis, who is the governor of Florida, in case you forgot. Tampa is the number two city for child sex trafficking. What is he doing about it? And you don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that if you have a problem, you have a cancer, you get it cut out. What is he doing? Why are these gangs allowed in the streets? Why is Tampa number two in sex trafficking? That is absurd. We don't pay enough. We don't have enough technology. We're not a wealthy enough state. I don't get it. So that is my question. And my other thing is that you said, Sally, I don't trust him. Somebody who says, I am going to not run. I'm going to be your governor. I'm going to concentrate on the governor. And then the audacity to be taking a salary to be running for president. He has zero trust right now from me, period. And I think, you know, from the people that I have spoken to, he is on a suicide mission. I feel like he's a kamikaze pilot aiming at the destroyer with his plane, and he's heading down. Which is a shame, because I do believe that he could have had a really good political career. However, the more I learn about him and his ties with the cartel, the Bush cartel, how did we get in this mess? As you said, Bush signed executive order, what was it, 12803, and he privatized our transportation. So you know what came along with that nobody realized? Well, there's a company called Gulftainer, and people should look them up. And I'm going by memory because I just thought of it and didn't have a chance to go and look at my notes. However, Gulftainer is an Arab Emirates company, an international company. And guess what they do? They have a 40-year lease on the port of Fort Lauderdale. No, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They are in charge of the containers that come into the country, the Arab Emirates. They also have a signed contract with a Russian company that makes a bomb and disbursement system of this bomb And guess where it gets, where it lives? In a container. Now, I was told that less than 2% of the containers that come into America have been inspected.
Right.
I wonder how many of these bombs we have in the country now. So I'm not high on Ron DeSantis anymore. After reading the legislation, some of it that was signed, and knowing that they're giving away, as you said, our country, they have no right. They don't own it. They have no right to sell it because they don't own it. We're not a dictate, we're not a monarchy where they would own the land. They're the government. They don't own the land. And that's our fault for letting them get away with that. We should have had enough knowledge of our Constitution, which we don't have, and the function of the branches of government, which no one knows, to be able to say, no, we're not doing this, and you can't have unelected bureaucrats dictate with penalties. Not going to happen. But we didn't do that, so now we have to pick up the pieces. And that's why shows like this are so important, and people get a chance to understand what's going on, because it is a lot worse than I thought, and I knew it was bad. And now we see the fruits of the net results of affirmative action. Our country is being run by people who have affirmative action degrees, and therefore they have no ability to make common sense decisions. Nor do they have an ability to think of the way their programs might work. All of that is missing, and that's why everything is expensive and doesn't work. And that's what we have going on right now. They put in policies that are overly expensive, that won't work, so that they can turn around and say, if we just had more money, we'd be able to get better technology. No, that's not true. Your plans don't work. And the majority of them are drug addicts. And I don't know if people realize, but when I was researching, Karl Marx, the father of communism, was a heroin addict. So he wrote Communist Manifesto under the influence. And his partner, Engels, was an alcoholic. So we have a stoned and drunk person writing the Communist Manifesto. How great is that, that all of these lefties are following? A trip down Looney Land. And Sigmund Freud, he was a heroin addict. And somewhere I have a list of all of the fathers, so to speak, of communism, who were all under the influence of some drug. So knowing that, should we be surprised that they won't stop the drugs coming into the country?
And again, what is DeSantis doing about it? Or what is DeSantis' position on to address any of this?
Yeah. I don't hear him. You know, now I'm tuning him out, so I don't care what he says.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to him, really. This was a true point. That is a true point.
It really is, because he is espousing everything that his handlers are telling him. He is allowing them to run his campaign, and he has become their role model of how to run a bad campaign, I guess. Which is a shame, because, you know, I don't think he's that bad of a guy. I just think that he's heading down the I can be corrupted trail. And that's not a good sign.
Yep. Now, Sydney's out there listening. When you wrap up a little bit on that, I know Cindy has a lot there.
Cindy, come and voice your opinion. I will take five.
Cindy, what's the latest scoop you've got on with DeSantis? Everything to do with him. Why would anybody vote for him? What is his position on any of these key issues? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
First of all, we vetted every single candidate, and I can tell you, let me think. Out of all of them, after we vetted everybody, then we went in a room and then we figured out to endorse. Every single one of them except for one has been a disappointment. Okay? So, to me, it's... Are you there?
Yep.
Yes.
Are you there? Hello?
Yep.
Oh, you can hear me, right?
Yep, we hear you.
So I want to start with
can
that.
You hear us?
It doesn't matter. They all lie. And when they get in there, if they're not lying during a vetting session, then what happens when they get there, they're corrupted. And I'll just repeat it. I'm going to repeat it probably till I die. A former State House rep said, listen, I'm not a lawyer. So when I got there, she went in with good intentions. What did they say, basically? Hey, if you don't vote for that bill, anything that you want to do isn't going to see the light of day. And, you know, my other state rep told me the same thing in so many words a month ago. So I don't believe anything that's going on in the State House. I think it's all corrupt. He raised, let me get the numbers straight now. He raised, while running for governor, I want to make sure I get this money straight. He raised $200 million. What did he need $200 million for to run a governor's race? He spent $105 million. That left $95 million. Remember, when he walked into that office, all the worth was that he had to his name was $500,000. They didn't even own their own home. Okay? So that makes me – and then I have to tell you, Karen, I'm sorry that I kept sort of – you know, I did what I could to get him elected. I did. But I didn't like him when he was in the House. When I went down to meet him twice with Jack down in, three times, twice with Jack and Danita, I didn't like him then. He wouldn't answer any of the questions that I asked him. He was a dud. And not only is he a dud, but he's a blue blooder. He's a pushy. There's no turning him around. He's going to come back. There was a funny thing today. I went to my address book, and I realized I'm going to call every single person that I don't hear from anymore. First person I called was from New Hampshire, a woman named Jane. She started the original Tea Party up in New Hampshire, and she's still active, okay?
I remember her.
And I asked her about DeSantis coming there, and we were talking about the energy crisis, what her electric bill is, and DeSantis talking to the governor because he wants to do the same thing that New Hampshire's done, which is screw the people. You know, you hear all this stuff about New Hampshire being free. It's nonsense. And he's going to do the climate change thing here. He's already done it. If they know exactly what they're doing. And DeSantis is part of the problem. Now, maybe he cares a little bit about the schools and the little children because he has little children. I've never seen him go to church. I hear he's Catholic, but I've never seen a picture of him going to church, ever. Spoken to church. It wasn't a Catholic church. It was a Christian church. I've never seen her at a church. I don't know where they're coming. I think they want power. They want money. They want fame. And that's what they're doing. And they'll do anything they can. And as far as I'm concerned, the government, I don't even know what state I would pick to live in now. Because when you get down to the nitty-gritty, every state in the union, including the so-called conservative ones, are screwed, and we're screwed here. Because you know what happened when I called her? She says, you should see the growth in the apartments. You should see what they're doing in New Hampshire, and they're bringing in all these people. Ooh, doesn't that sound familiar? Just like DeSantis. So what do we have to show for it? We have all these people coming down here now who are living in their little apartments. They're injected. I mean, my little town's signed on to Agenda 2030. It's hysterical. I mean, everybody knows it's a joke. It's brought in through the planners. Nobody wants to follow the dots. I've mentioned this on numerous radio stations. I'm completely ignored. I put it on Twitter, Gadder, True Social. If you want to worry, I mean, on this crazy text thing with like 30-some-odd people in Palm Beach County, they're never going to accomplish anything there because they're looking at all the wrong places. So how are we going to fix it? No, I don't know. And I'm not worried about their money anymore, and I'll tell you why. Brian Mass told me that Emmers would get that bill done, the digital currency bill. But that, I mean, it doesn't really need, it's not an emergency right now. The emergency, we're being told the dollar has collapsed. I listened to Bannon today. I listened to his purple today, and I listened to some other people. I don't think that's going to happen. We're far away from that. I think they want to scare us. And, of course, they want to do something to control us, but they're not going to be able to do it. So I'm not so worried about that. What I am worried about is all this other stuff that he's doing to harm us as far as our security is concerned, our privacy, our free speech, all these platforms. I mean, it's going to get really, really ugly. And I don't know. And I can tell you there's another split. Steve Bannon is going to go on a show called Nino Rodriguez. Does anybody know who he is?
Say that again.
Steve Bannon is going to be going on a show, and Cash Patel has been on the show, Nino Rodriguez. Nino Rodriguez was a boxer, okay, a wrestler, excuse me, not a boxer, a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Anyway. He has every conspiracy person up there. Juan O'Savin. I don't even know who Juan's. I don't know where Juan O'Savin came from. He wrote a book called The Kid on the Street or The Kid on the Something Something, and I had a meeting. This woman brought the book. You had to buy three of them. It was this huge book. I was like, oh, boy. But you know what? There's something weird going on. Why would Bannon go on that show? The military thing, the military's in control. I hear it every day. I don't know if that's true. But I back in the day, you couldn't find anybody that would go on a show where there were conspiracy theories. Nobody would go near them because the consultant class would tell them, don't go anywhere near it. Steve Bannon's working with the Trump campaign. Cash Patel is going on there now again. And I mean, all Nino does, basically, he's a host. But he has everybody and their mother come on. Some guy that forecasted that, you know, the earth is going to be gone, and another guy that the military is in control. And I mean, everything that you can think of, he's had on.
One quick thing.
It kind of I don't know what what is going on, but there are so many grifters that are making money on the backs of the Trump, of MAGA, and it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
And you know, when I saw the tickets, how much the tickets were over at Charlie Kirk's thing, I thought, do they have any clue? I mean, we're suffering, and they're asking for money, and all they're doing is talking to the same people over and over again. In Palm Beach County, are you kidding me? They just keep having events there. Nothing changes in Palm Beach County. Nothing. It's getting worse. West Palm Beach is going to be a 15-minute city. And that was told to me by Deborah, who worked for Maurice Strong and traveled with him and who wrote Agenda 21. She lives there.
Yeah.
And yet we still have all these people. So you know what, Sally? I guess I'm getting like Chris Wright, Karen. But I do feel like I can't stomach it anymore. I mean, Dan Bongino lives here in our town. He's going to be speaking when Steve Bannon's going to and Roger Stone, who I have for nothing. Now he wants $2,000 to come and speak. I'm like, are you kidding me? I am so sick of it. It makes me ill, because I really think that so many people are not. Are they in it because they really want things to change? Maybe. Are they in it because they want to make money?
Well, I got to say something real quick there. First off, when it comes to Steve Bannon, I mean, I listen to him. You got to try to find someplace with some real information, and we know you can't depend on Fox and company and all them. But on his show, right behind him, he's got this thing that says there are no conspiracies. And I'm saying, yes, there are conspiracies. I really do need to send something directly to him. A conspiracy is when two or more people collude together to cause harm to another person or thing or whatever. So, yes, there are conspiracies. How can anybody think there's not a conspiracy against Trump? Who can think there's not a conspiracy against
well,
these
really?
People with what they're doing this whole country? So it's all kind of crazy that
but
way.
Valid.
And then now you said, how much was Bongino wanting to get for his speaking fee? What was that?
But Bongino, listen, I have done Bongino twice. When he wrote a book, he was so arrogant. He lives up the street from me. He's very arrogant. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you want to help us, help us. It's like Mark Levin. This morning I pulled into Brian Craig down south because I'm on my head ready to blow up. Kevin Newsom is talking about changing the Constitution. I don't know if you heard this. So then Brian Craig is a radio show guy. He's a really nice guy. He's a nice guy, and he loves Trump. And he broadcasts out of somewhere, maybe down in Boca. Anyway, so I got on his show again, and I said, don't forget that Mark Levin was the Convention of States, and he remembered that. So here I go to look at the Convention of States, and there's Mark Meckler up there. And I have to tell you, I'm not a fan of the Convention of States. I'm really with the John Birchers. And then I went and read a little bit more. Why would Gavin Newsom remark on that? And Mark Meckler's from California, by the way. And you know what? We're going down that. If you go to the Convention of States, if you go to the website, you will see how many states have already said yes. We're done if that happens.
Yeah, we're close. I don't know how many more.
That's right. And Gavin Newsom is talking about it yesterday. I'm sorry, but wow, we are in big, big trouble. And that makes me sick. And yet, guess who was on the stage at CPAC? Mark Meckler with the Convention of States.
Oh, yeah.
Supporting them. Everybody and their mother is supporting the Convention of States. People that you would think.
But a lot of them have, Cindy, a lot of them have no idea what it is. And a lot of them
don't realize
that Gavin Newsom and that crowd, they already have the new Constitution written. They think they're going to go there and they're, oh, and I just had this discussion, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just had this discussion with someone, and I said, what's the first rule of order? Well, the first rule of order is you have to set up the rules by which the convention will be governed. I said, oh, okay, let's do that. Let's eliminate the Constitution and let's put this new one in. Boom. Oh, that's not going to happen. I said, really? Name me one member in this crowd who you think wouldn't do that.
Yeah, there isn't. Okay, just go ahead and complete that thought. I got Nathan out there, and I also see Joe was out there.
Just so you know, so he's on the radio this morning, and he says, you know, I never liked Mark Levin. You know, Rush Limbaugh had to pay his medical bills. How about that? I never knew that Rush Limbaugh paid Mark Levin's medical bills. Guess where Mark Levin lives? He lives on the ocean in Jupiter Island, the most expensive place to live in the country. Okay?
Yep.
Mark doesn't do his homework when it comes to candidates. I can barely listen to him because it makes me crazy. And yet he's another. They're in their bubble for whatever reason. They need to get out of the bubble, and people have to start really thinking. See, they don't have. Look at the people that have nothing to lose. Politicians, right? But I do believe that some of them are getting worried, and I do think that Marco Rubio is worried. I really do. I really think Brian Mass is worried because I think they really understand it. And I think there are other people up there that really do. But it's the same thing. Look at what's going on with McCarthy now.
He's going to get sanctioned.
And I'm thinking, well, what's going on? Do we have anybody talking from his district? Who's in his district? Maybe we need to go and call people in his district and find out. Do they like him?
Yes.
I mean,
he wins in California overwhelmingly. It's a Republican, liberal, really Democrat district.
I don't even know anymore because I communicate with a lot of California people, and I just can't even go there. I think it's just so ridiculous, and I just don't see. There's so many problems, and, you know, we're putting it on one man, and he's going to be the, you know, like magic. It's going to be like magic.
Right.
If he gets into office, all I can say is I hope he's picked a good team, because some of the people that are on his team are grifters.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and finish that, and let me get Nathan in here, and then Joe, I will get you in there.
I see you both
out there. I want to keep this conversation going, so we've got to cover this stuff, and we need the people from Florida who understand the most about what's going on. Florida may be the freedom state compared to some other ones, but it's not quite as free as people think it is, so we need to make sure. And then this all comes very relative when you're talking about who you're going to vote for the presidency. And all the garbage going on with Ron DeSantis. What he says, I mean, well, he tries to be a pretty face out there, but it seems like somehow his campaign style doesn't seem to be doing real good. Well, with that being said, Nathan, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, here's the deal with DeSantis. We don't have one party. I mean, two parties. Well, you know, you've heard that there are two wings, the right and the left wing. Is like the parties are like the set two wings on a bird. It really is two heads on the same snake.
Yep.
Okay. DeSantis is sending state troopers to the border because that's going to make him look like we need him for the border. Okay. No, we don't, because he doesn't know the Constitution. That's the biggest part. He doesn't know the Constitution. One, he doesn't respect the law. He's going to change the law so he doesn't have to break it. Why not live it out and then let the next guy? It's like the president's paycheck. He can approve a pay raise for the president, but it won't hit him. It'll hit the new guy coming in, and that's what he needs to do. So that the next guy, that he gets to run for president and not live by the law and do the job he's done and same stuff with all of them. This thing with I want to say 128.03, but it all comes back to the Republicans. You know, Ronald Reagan, and I was one of those people that really thought he was a rock star back then, but, you know, we didn't have a computer then. But Ronald Reagan was pro-abortion. I don't want to debate with it, the subject with anybody, just drop that. Here's what I'm saying. Just be who you are, and we can have an honest discussion. He was pro-abortion. As a governor, even as a governor, he said that if someone, you have the constitutional right to protect yourself if someone threatens your life, and that means even for the baby. If the baby is threatening a mother's life, she has the right to defend herself. Okay, but whenever he ran for president, he saw how big the pro-life movement was, and whenever he ran on pro-life. The Republicans just came to him, and all these Bible thumpers and the pastors are endorsing him. And then he got in there, and the amount of abortions in America went straight through the roof. I mean, past the clouds. The whole 8 years he was in there, abortions were happening left and right in large numbers. And it happened for two reasons. One, he had the ink pen. He could have called Congress to have a debate and then send a bill to him, and he didn't do that. He just reached to the people's hearts, not their minds, and abortion flourished. And then whenever his vice president, George Daddy Bush, is the one that wrote in 1969 the law that's Title X that funds Planned Parenthood, 28 Republicans, or not just Republicans, but mostly Republicans, 28 in the Congress opposed it, but it made it to the Senate, and it was 100-0. 100-0 to fund it. Nixon signed it, and 3 years later, the Supreme Court, it was 7 of the 9 judges were Republican appointed that ruled for Roe v. Wade. And this is where the dysfunction in our country is today. There was families were breaking up in the 70s. Moms were depressed. Their kids were depressed. They just were lost. And these Roe v. Wade was there for them young girls, them young teenagers, that all you had to do is just say, I love you, and you got the keys to everything. Okay, and now they got a baby and a choice to make. Many of them raised their babies and recovered a lot, but this is a Republican policy that the Democrats take credit for. Same thing with global warming. It was the Nixon, again, George Daddy Bush signed the, the EPA. The EPA, he's the one that came up with that bill, and again, you know, one or two didn't vote for it, but for the most part, it was all of them voted for it, Republican and Democrat, and they got me and you down here fussing Republican and Democrat, and these people are walking around going, well, you know, it got hot yesterday, oh my God, it's global warming, and the next day it's cold, oh my God, we're going to freeze, the world's coming to an end, and the government wants to take up more money so they can fix it, They've made the creation our God that we got to worship and we got to save it. So and that's Republican. The only person that can run for president because he comes from the culture, just like Abraham Lincoln did. He came from the citizenship. Donald Trump is the only guy that can run for president and get anything done. They will fight him and fight him and fight him. But I want to remind you on this traffic stuff. It was our lady here in Florida, one of Sally's fans, she's up. Linda Stewart was a county commissioner.
Oh, yeah.
She joined a bunch of politicians from different levels throughout the country, and they got on planes and went across and went through several different countries, even countries that are our enemies in Europe. And they looked at studied the infrastructure, their railroads, how they're built houses. I was in Germany. I went to school in Germany in '84. I traveled through 13 European countries after school before I came back. You know, the little U-turns under the highway, instead of going through the light, you just do the little U-turn before you get to the light coming off the exit. That came from Europe. And they went over there and they came back with this idea, and they promoted it, and it was Mobility 2021. Mobility 21, you remember that? And that there again is our bill here we're dealing with today that we got back from W. Back, I mean H. Back in 92 when he was president, he's selling our country. You can buy China or UAE or anybody can buy your courthouse. And whenever you walk in there and look around and go, this is where Americans take care of business, and then you don't know that all the money and all the operations all goes back to whatever country it is, okay? I would never vote for any of these people. I will vote for any citizen as long as he's got a consistent resume and he's interested in reading the Constitution. And that's all I'm asking for, you know?
Yeah. Now,
and I think what
you,
we need
you
to do is get a hold
Nathan.
Of Trump. What we need to do is get a hold of Trump and let Trump get put together some kind of a team that can go out and endorse citizen candidates, because in 2008, there was 762 here in Florida, a citizen candidates running, and they couldn't get anywhere. And it was close to, I quit counting going across the country whenever I hit 30,000 people. So
I think that's when Go was
system.
Out there. Nathan, real quick.
Well, but here's
talking
the
about
problem, and I talked with him.
Yeah,
I talked with him on several occasions. Tim Cox, what I told him is you got the wrong one. You're trying to clean out the Congress, but, you know, everything's made complete in the Senate. I don't know what the acronym would look like, but we need to get the Senate out, because a good example of this, we lost to Obama in 2000, after the 2008 election, we lost to Obamacare. There was only 39 Republicans voted for or against Obamacare. And then in 2012, they ran on, we need a majority in the Senate to be able to stop Obamacare. They got their majority, and they voted 100-0 for Obamacare after his all night, you know, getting up there, putting on a show, filibuster, and 100-0. And you know what? I was there. It was my night off. I stayed up all night watching it. I was watching, listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all the rest of them. And all I'm hearing from them is, Ted Cruz, he's working for the people. He's going to fight. He's going to save us from socialized medicine. And they're sitting there, and I got a copy of the C-SPAN Live TV with the lady yelling out, Marco Rubio, yay. Yeah, Ted Cruz, yay. It's going out, and it's like, how blind can we be? They got us, they're talking to our hearts. They got us excited, celebrating that Ted Cruz is going to stop it. And now we got this guy up here in South Carolina, what is his name? The black guy that's running, I can't remember his last name right now. Tim Scott, there it is.
Tim Scott.
And Tim Scott, 2 months before the vote, the debate, the, no, not the debate, but the filibuster, he wrote a letter. 100% of the U.S. Senate Republicans signed his letter, asking him not to do it because of the damage he's going to do. And then 2 months later, they voted 100%, and this idiot, I called his office, I've called all the peers, Republican peers in South Carolina, asking them, why aren't you calling them out on this?
I know what you're talking about there, too, so I don't want to deviate about the Tim Scott thing, but I want to go back on two other things, and Joe is out there waiting, so I want to get him in here, too, but just for those people who don't know, when I said go, and that's what Tim Cox from Texas was created. This was back in 2008, whatever. G-O-O-O-H, goo, is what most people said, but it was really go, and it stands for get out of our house. And I can tell you, with the exception of the people such as us listening to this conversation, to say get out of our house, most Americans had no clue what that even meant. The whole idea was to support citizen candidates, get it, clean out the house. And he was on Fox News one time. Fox News, the switchboard lit up. People were crazy about what he was saying. They liked it, and then Fox never brought him on again. That's how long ago that was that going on? But we need another go type thing where we get out there and really push for these citizen candidates across the board to get rid of all the slime out there. But there's so much money involved,
out of our
I don't
Senate.
Know how easily.
And get out of our
too.
Senate.
Yes, it should be goes.
You know?
instead of go, it goes, get out of our Senate. Maybe if you said get out of our Senate, somebody might figure out what that meant. But when you said get out of our house, they really didn't have a clue what that truly meant, which was
thought the illegals
scary.
Were moving into your house while you were at work.
Yeah. Yeah, and when it comes to DeSantis, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say you're not a DeSantis fan. There was one question that came in for you that I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick, and then, Joe, I promise I will get to you next. I don't want to leave you sticking out there waiting all that time. Tell them to get Josh Holloway's book, Our American Men Have Lost Their Manhood. The children have been taught by atheists. They do not believe in God, period, so they only teach the Marxist way, keep our young boys oppressed. That way they will not believe in God. And who says there? Okay, let's see if I can see the rest of this. Okay, there is a means to an end. Follow God's way to success. So anyway, I don't know if you want to make any comment, but that was what was being suggested. I've heard about Josh Holly's book, which I like Josh Holly. When I listen to him on these hearings and all this other stuff, I really like what he's saying. However, he was another one who supported Mitch McConnell. How can you support Mitch McConnell and tell me that you really believe in this other stuff? I mean, are these people in the Senate who have been there for more than one term or who should have definitely known what Mitch McConnell was, why would they support Mitch McConnell? It makes no sense.
They can't get any – it's the same thing that goes on in the State House. The leadership basically says, look, I know you want that bill to, whatever, help Medicare or whatever it is, right? Whatever the issue is. Well, you got to vote for this bill. You got to support it. That's what goes on. I mean,
there's a lot of shenanigans. The art of the deal. This is where it scares me with Trump and the art of the deal routine.
But he has the money. See, Mitch McConnell holds the purse. And if you remember, you want to go back to Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint started that, and he's right. Jim DeMint started that PAC, and that was the only reason that Rand and Ted and who else, Scott and some others got elected, all right? Because McConnell wouldn't give them any money. Wouldn't give them any money, okay? Mistakes were made. But the bottom line is this. The only way that's going to be fixed, I listened to Herdy's last night a little bit, Karen, and I didn't say it on the whole, but I listened a little bit. The rules are so bad. I mean, I printed the House Freedom Caucus plan in July. Okay? They came on the call with Tea Party Patriots, and I printed it. And I read it to my group, and I said, this is what's going to happen. And everything they said was going to happen has happened. They tried to change the rules, and they did. They have the power now to take McCarthy out. But as far as the Senate is concerned, that's a whole other ball of wax. And what we're dealing with is that between China and, like Jack Massey said, they're all compromised. Who knows what they have on these people? And it could be something stupid. You know, you did something, maybe you were in high school and you thought you were gay. Whatever it is. I'm just saying to you that's what happens there. It's really, it's sad, but it's true. And that's what's happening. And that is what's happening in the State House. That's why we don't get anything done. And who's up there watching? The Liberty people have disappeared. Remember all the Liberty caucus in Tallahassee? Where the hell are they? John Holman retired. He's very sour now. Once in a while I'll call him up and he just says they're all a bunch of thieves. I want to have a conversation with people. If I'm talking to you like I'm talking to you, I may not be as harsh as talking to Brian like that, Mass or somebody, other politician, but I'm pretty forward about it. I mean, Toby said to me, Cindy, really don't tell anybody what I said or anything because I have further aspirations. I said, Toby, I get it. You almost went broke and lost your house. You're now a State House rep. You're making some money. You've got some good credentials. You worked in the environmental, thing for builders. I mean, I get it. I understand. I said, but please, you have to understand that we're pissed that some of these bills passed. So this is what happens when they get up there. They can't get anything done.
Well, and yeah, you have to totally. This is why the term limits were so important to begin with. This is exactly why Jefferson believed so strongly in term limits. And there's plenty of people say, yeah, you have these things called elections. You have term limits. Well, once the corruption sets in, once the money is there, it's a whole different ballgame. So the term limits should have been there, just like Jefferson also wanted to free the slaves, which of course, luckily we don't have. Oh, well, actually, I think we do have some other people now listening. But I'm not getting into too much of that tonight.
Sally.
I do have Joe out there. Go ahead, Nathan, but then I have to go to Joe.
Listen, here's the thing. The Republicans in 94 ran on term limits, and they had more R's than D's, and they didn't have enough votes to pass it, okay, at some point. Even if you were a politician up there, if I was a politician up there, and these guys made this promise, I would be saying, wait a minute, guys, you guys said I'm going back and I'm going to talk to the people in the states and tell them you guys lied. Why are you doing this? You just gave them a promise that got you elected, and it's the same thing. We keep going. Here's what I do. I don't join groups. I don't let anyone convince me that this guy's better than this guy. I stand alone, I study, and I find what I know about people, and I just vote my conscience. Now, you're going to say, and your people say this, you're the reason the Democrats won, you know, because you voted for this other candidate. No, I voted my conscience, and we need to get away from the groups, because once they get us in a group, then the people at the top of the group determines which direction you're going. I just talked to a pastor on something he said in the Bible, and I said, I think that's your denomination, but it's not in the Bible. And we spent about 6 or 8 weeks bouncing back and forth on it, and he just said, you know, you just need to read your Bible. And I said, no, you can't be trusted. And then I found out who one of his professors was back in Liberty University. I contacted him and I sent him and I said, you got one pastor that if you don't agree with him, he'll throw you away. And that right there is the problem. He's got it. He learned what he knows. He knows what he learned. And he can't think because he's moving forward. And that's what the Republican and the Democrats is one party and they're moving forward. And we can't keep trying to weed them out. We need to get rid of all of them, get Trump to put together a commission of people to go across the state, and you got this car dealership here or this guy that works at a bank or this plumber. They all can come together. They all got their own worlds. They can put their heads together and learn from each other and run the country. That's
Amen.
All it's got to be.
Yeah.
Take up an offer, man.
Excuse me. Now, I do want to talk to you about the Arizona stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said, I want to go back to you and ask you about the Arizona because of EO 12803 kind of thing. But Joe has been out there waiting. Excuse me, Joe. Sorry to keep you waiting all that time, but what are you thinking right now?
That's all right. I was just sitting back listening. I kind of want to hear about the Arizona thing, actually, so I'll make a quick comment there. As far as our leaders go, we put too much faith and dependency in these leaders, like there's some magician or God. It's up to us, we the people, to, you know, even on a local level to monitor our local elections, get involved. And I liked the conversation earlier about the money, you know, when I didn't know that much money was raised by DeSantis down there. That right there is madness, and we have to stop the madness. I mean, it's money that's being – I mean, they're bleeding us. They want more. It's never enough. $200 million to run a campaign? You've got to be out of your mind. That is a crime in itself. It's got to be a crime. Somewhere in the dictionary, we've got to figure out a name for that because that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, come on. And the American people or people in Florida are going to sit back and allow something like that? I mean, I'm not saying that it's not going around in the rest of the country, too, but this is one of the major problems, the corruption, the money, and the amount of money, and the waste. If we stop the waste and we start spending money more responsible and we spend it on quality, instead of quantity, we much better off when we can fix our economy and bring back the strength of the dollar, even though I don't agree with the Federal Reserve and the practices of the Federal Reserve through fractional reserve banking. But right now we have a central bank, and the rest of the world uses a central bank. So for us to just leap out from that system, it would be devastating to our economy right now. So, but it can be done in a gradual, phased-out way, like Ron Paul used to point out. He had a good plan on doing it through his Austrian economics plan. But again, the money and these leaders, get rid of them. Just get rid of them. New people, fresh faces, people that are not politicians. And another comment that was made earlier, they become detached from us. They live in these bubbles. They're not part of it. They don't know how to work. They don't know what it's like to get up in the morning and go to work and blood, sweat, and tears to stick a shovel in the ground and work. And, you know, they don't know anything about that. They are so detached from who we are and what we are and how we think and how we live that there's no way they can run this country or be leaders for us. There's no way. And that's why we're so backwards and in the bad shape we are right now.
Okay, and Karen, you said you wanted to kind of chime in there, and I totally agree with you. And the worst is I just don't know how we get everybody together. But Karen, you were going to say something?
Yes, and that was what I was going to say. So our major problem is we were in this group, 5-6 people talking on a panel. And each one of us has something different. And that's what happens with the groups. We have how many groups doing how many different things that there's very little cohesiveness. So I believe what we have to do is come together. Okay, so if we come together, we can't control what goes on in D.C. until we win. We can have an impact on our state and might be able to win, but we certainly have a huge impact in our community, and we have to start someplace. So if we've said to all the groups that we know, and those of more, talk to more groups, our goal should be to turn the elections in our local communities, and from there you can go to the state and then go to the federal. Matt Gaetz is a blessing because he speaks the truth. Neil Dunn is a moron because all he does is regurgitate what he's told to say. So therefore, we have work to do to get rid of Neil Dunn. We need to be doing that in our states. We're not going to get any place if we're each of us are out spinning our own wheel trying to get our – that's the problem – spinning our own wheel, trying to get our own donation, trying to get this, that, and the other thing, because we don't have a machine like the Democrats that say, okay, if everybody goes to meeting X, we'll pay you $50.
We don't have a machine like the Republicans.
Can I say something real quick? That's a good point, what you're saying, what you're saying is, but we have to stay focused on that. Like, for instance, you're down there in Florida. So the people down in Florida need to say, hey, yo, you guys in North Carolina, can you help us out with this one issue, you know, to battle and focus on it so we can make a change, and vice versa, and spread that throughout the country, you know?
Right. If the focus is let's turn over our local election, and then while we're at it, let's pick one company to boycott.
Exactly.
And if we did nothing else other than those two things, we would make a huge impact because we would have people that we vet. We would have people that hopefully won't lie to us. Now, we know of all of those people, some will win, some will lose, some will lie, but at least we have a starting point. Right now, we run around in circles, and I'm fighting about water, you are fighting about elections, I'm fighting, somebody else is fighting about energy, blah, blah,
yep.
blah. We're going to go no place.
We can't take on the world. You know, we can't take on the world with a you know what I mean? Let's end the Federal Reserve.
We have to concentrate locally. And we took over a lot of the school boards. That's the beginning. Everybody's upset, oh, they didn't change it right away. Excuse me? It took them 130 years to get there. They're not going to change anything right away. And don't think that you can give up and say, well, we've got two people on the school board. How many people are on your school board? Five. How many do you need to get? Three more. Don't stop. We stop and we, I don't know, pat ourselves on the back and then get frustrated when it doesn't work. It's working. I really believe it's working. And it'll work better if we focus on our local community and get the right people in order.
Well, with that being said, and the supervised elections, what I sent out, the game they're playing, the other thing that people, which I haven't really mentioned, I know I think I had it out there someplace, but the games that they're going to play with the Republican Party here in Florida is what they're going to play is they're going to try to say if the GOP candidates have to take a loyalty oath, otherwise they will not be allowed to be on the primary ballot. What do we do at a local level and what do we do at a state level to say, wait a minute, that is not right. What are we going to do to stop
that? Because
right now they're
trying.
What's that?
I think that's wrong. Because
the party.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Let me finish one thing real quick. I'll go to you. Excuse me. The thing is, when it comes to, as I've said many, many times, and of course Nathan has said it too, many, many times, these political parties are private entities. They can do their own thing. And they're going to go out there and try to play all these kind of games and manipulate the system. And why would the Republican Party be, at this point in time, with the people that support Trump, why would the Republican Party want to throw Trump under the bus kind of thing, except that we know what their real intentions are. A bunch of globalists because of the Bushes and all this other stuff. So, but it's the insanity. What are we going to do right here in Florida to stop them from doing that, for one thing? What happens if they pull this off? And are they really going to be able to block Trump from being on the primary ballot? They shouldn't be allowed to. But I'm not going to say, can they really do this? I don't see how it's legal or constitutional. But we're not talking constitution and legal anymore, because that's really not what's going on. But this is the game that they're playing. This is at the state level. Now, at the local level, with those supervisor elections, what are we going to do to get these supervisor elections to be used on paper ballots and doing manual counts? I mean, it's because to me, I'm kind of focusing on the election.
Got
to
put our heads together
here
and come up with an idea. And then
you can't,
start pulling the resources.
You can't get them to change the paper ballots. It's all... It's done.
Okay.
You know, it's not up to the individual county, number one. Okay? And they have a convention every year. And this has already been done. The ballot, I mean, it's, you know, there's so many groups out there that are working on election integrity in Florida. It's a joke now. I mean, to me, it's a joke. It's like the vaccine thing. There must be, I don't know, last count was seven people that I know that supposedly have groups working on medical whatever in Tallahassee. I haven't heard from them since. I don't know what passed, what didn't pass. And not only that, but I have no faith because the party is corrupt. Now, here's why. The money. Until there is campaign finance reform, and I mean real campaign finance reform, no PACs. You're running for the Senate? Okay, you got to raise. You have, you're going to, it's going to cost you. Now, remember, they pay for time. A lot of the money goes to put an ad on Facebook, an ad on NBC. So you have to okay, some of that money that they raise has to be spent on that. So you give them you know, if you're going to run for the Senate, maybe you need $5 million, $10 million. Okay, you probably need more than that, actually. But, you know, there should be a limit, and there should be no PAC money. It's absolutely insane. John McCain wrote that campaign finance reform, him and Feingold. It's the worst. And it's the worst in Florida, too. We don't – I like to how we have more control locally.
Citizens United was a big disaster, too.
The Chamber of Commerce runs the candidates. They love the Republican Party, especially if they're grocers, okay? The left, the stupid Democrats, in this county, used to be the anti-growthers. Now they've turned into just a bunch of cuckoo birds, you know, because the anti-growthers are gone now, and really we're the anti-growthers, okay? So on a local level, who supports the candidates? The builders, the chamber,
The contractors, yep.
Contract, all the special interests on your local thing. So that's why it's not going to work. You can't do it.
Well,
you have to say to people in each town, every town, every person in each town has to take it and do their, and if I could switch a finger, I would do two things. Have campaign finance reform, that would cut a lot of that out, and no more big donations. Sorry, you know why?
Right.
You can't,
correct.
All these people, that's what has to happen.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're all
yep. And just real quick, and then I'll go to you, Karen. I've been saying for many years, only people who can actually vote, who are legally allowed to vote, should be allowed to contribute. There should be PACs are nothing but money laundering devices. So because they try to put these limits on how much an individual donates here and there, whatever else. So then they go and put millions into a PAC, and that's where Soros and all these others are out there. So the PACs are definitely it. The only people who should be allowed to contribute, the Citizens United was a big crock, but that was a big part of it too. Karen, I know you were trying to jump in there and say something. What were you thinking?
Okay, well, we know the Republican Party is corrupt, but the Republican Party has also sanctioned a caucus, and that's the Republican Assembly. And I happen to know the people that are heading it, Lou Marin. You might know him too, Cindy. And we've spoken to Lou. The Republican Assembly has become a watchdog group over the Republican Party, or the RNC, or the RPOF, but they need people. And Lou is spreading out into each of the counties. So that might be an option. There is also a Republican Assembly, I believe, in multiple states. But the thing to remember is that they are sanctioned by the Republican Party. So if you can get your assembly to be strong enough, your caucus, like the Freedom Caucus, you can duplicate the same thing and make demands. Again, nothing is going to happen unless we get the right people elected. And I think we have to face that fact. Everything we're talking about won't make any difference if Biden gets back in office or another globalist. It won't make any difference. If Trump does not get in office, all of this is out the window. It's gone. Forget it. It won't
matter.
We're
at a local level.
What they have planned for us, and Biden signed into the 5G, so now they can surveil everything down to an inch. They can monitor anything. And hope they're listening now. They know how much we've
been doing that.
But anyhow, we need, I believe, need to be concentrating on the elections. There is nothing that is going to be more important than the only way you can stop the cheating, is to use paper ballots. And the only way we're going to get to use paper ballots is if we change the supervisors of elections and change the Secretary of State. Because the Secretary of State is the one who overrides all the elections. But then you also have to go to the Association of the Supervisors of Elections, because that's the lobby group that makes up all these rules and election rules. And they're the ones that said no paper ballots, because probably, and I'm guessing, they're getting donations from the machine companies, maybe, you think? So,
gosh, no. I would have never thought of that.
You would have never thought of that. So,
well, but at the same time, real quick on the election stuff, which I agree, the election, if we don't clean up the election, it's not going to make any difference. But the thing is, the supervisor of elections who are in there today are going to be in there on the 2024. So the question is, what do we do to – and this is like a commission, whatever, you go to your local county commission or the city, whatever, to try and demand that they get rid of these machines. I don't know if we're going to have the machines out there for 2024, which is what it's looking like here in Florida. What can we do locally right here in this county to go out there? And I mean,
looking
I've
up the laws and the rules,
looking
at the laws and rules in your area.
Not much. There's not much you can do because they're working by the rules that were in place.
That's kind of the point.
And that,
so,
okay, so
2024,
the only thing that can be done, the only thing that will beat all of the cheating, the only thing that will take care of it would be a landslide election. And they are not going to be able to change the numbers like they did before. They'll be able to, but the states have put in some good laws. Some have not. Some are horrific, worse than before, and some are better. So if we have a landslide victory, that's going to be the key. And that's what they're afraid of because...
Wait a minute, your local county board of elections, you guys can't have an emergency referendum or some sort of meeting that can implement some sort of policy for the election between now and then? There's not enough time to do that?
I don't believe anybody will do it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
I
think it's a good effort, but I think getting the right people in office is more important. And winning.
Well,
but
no,
how
can we get them in office?
They're not going to expect that. They only do by what they expect. And a lot of places have cleaned up voter rolls, so that loophole has closed a bit. And you have a lot of things that have closed that used to be available that are no longer available. And there is a petition that I did, I think I sent you, Sally, if not, I will send, to Governor DeSantis. And this is coming from the Republican assemblies saying, you have the power to get rid of the machines. Get rid of the machines now. What does DeSantis think about the machines? Might be a good question to ask because he does have the right to. We have one more cycle of the idiots in Tallahassee before the election, and he could say, we could say, you know, we want a bill to get rid of the machine or at least take away the section in the original bill that says that you cannot use paper ballots.
Do you mean the primary? Because now his polling numbers show 70% Trump as of today, and he's down to, I don't know, 12, 16.
Well, that's done.
What would he do? What would he do? Would he want to do that? Yeah, probably, if he thought he could win.
Yeah. Well, he has no more race.
He has no more race. Taken out of politics, Karen. Until the money's taken out of politics, it doesn't matter. Because you know we're sitting here arguing about that. They had another supervisor of election convention. Who was there? Chris Cribbs was going to be at the last one, which was 2 years ago. He came from the Aspen Institute with Katie Couric.
Oh,
they
right.
were on the misinformation tour. So we went to our supervisor of election and said, "Are you going to go to this?" We've caused a stink, and you know what? They canceled him. But the problem is the companies go to the supervisor of elections convention. Okay?
Oh, of course. This is
and
all
everybody's
about the money.
Forgotten.
What do
you
do?
Because you know why everybody's forgotten? Because Trump is going to take care of it. And the Republic – I can't – this is my problem. I don't understand. I really like Dan Schultz. His heart's in the right place with the precinct project. But it really, what did that accomplish? Nothing. We're as corrupt, if not more corrupt.
But the precinct is still open, so we still need to fill the precinct. You know, you can't walk away.
Oh, we can fill them, but the RPOF is corrupt because until you get every county to appoint to vote for a new state committee man, state committee woman.
That's exactly why you got to fill the
precinct. And that's not going to happen. And I could tell you, I'll have Eric Miller come on the phone and tell you that. He tried. We tried. That's why Eric quit. He has no hope. I don't have any hope for the party because the party's too corrupt. We have to start over.
Oh, I definitely agree with you.
All we're doing is running around in a circle. And you know what? Tea Party Patriots takes money from... I don't know, maybe from the Mercers and the Heritage Foundation takes money and this one. and we're all good, and now we have the MAGA people, and they say they're better than the Republican Party, but they're taking money from the same people. It's all the same. I believe that he really does want to try things.
What kind of system
huge.
Do you guys have down there in Florida for voting? Are you, you use paper ballots?
No.
No?
We have machines.
Well, you use a paper ballot and it goes through the scanner.
Right, but...
Oh, okay.
And that's
so,
the
okay.
So machine counted. It's machine counted.
The scanner supposedly counts it. But that's the problem because the scanner can be hacked.
And they claim they do random, where they do a manual count and compare it to what the machine is, and that it's random throughout the state. But I'm not going to hold my breath on their random QAing to make sure that they're not hacked.
Let's do one of those make believe something happens. Let's make believe two things could happen. Let's make believe Trump doesn't get in the primary. What do you think the people will do? Just saying. You know, nobody's rising up. Nobody's doing anything. I don't think anybody...
people rise up?
I think
people will rise up. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There was another free speech thing. Look at what he did with free speech. Why didn't anybody say anything about it? Because he was the golden boy. So we're going down this road, and I don't see anybody rising up. I don't. Because, you know, January 6th, they proved, we can find all this stuff out about January 6th. We all know what happened, what the real story was. But people are afraid. I think people really are afraid.
I think they are afraid.
No, majority of them are, but there is the base of people. There are people around this country that are not afraid, I assure you of that. And there are people in the military, too. But you can't, but do you do something that's going to create havoc and risk the breakdown of a superpower like America? Because let me tell you something. If this system was to shut down, if this government was to shut down, or if there was even an inkling of a civil war and the military had to get involved, the potential for I forgot how they played it out in 2010 when they were talking with the military, I remember, about all this and how it would break out. But the devastation that would happen, I mean, let alone to us, the world economy, it's insane. We'd have UN troops here in a second. I mean, so it's what you're talking about there is very, you know, it's dangerous.
Well, I'm not talking about that. Last night on the Herdy's call, they talked about there's a plan. They have a plan to weed out government workers. And I had never heard the number. It's astounding how many people we are supporting, government workers. It's astounding. So, you know, no wonder they don't want Congress to stop spending. So they have a plan, and they talked about it. Whether they can achieve it is another thing, but the fact of the matter is that that's really what it is. We have a business.
Too many jobs, the government.
Yeah, the Republican Party is a business. It's not a party to get, it's for conservative value. It's bullshit. It's a business now.
The whole thing is a business.
So everything is controlled, and the amount of government workers, so much stuff needs to be sent back to the states, but I haven't heard anybody talk about that. The last time I heard somebody talk about that was Rand Paul or Ron Paul, or even Trump did. He tried. He moved that one, the forestry or something out of Washington. Okay?
Yep.
He tried. But that's where we are, and that's why people don't understand it. I mean, if you tell people, we want our Social Security check, you know, because that's what they try. They try to threaten everybody with Social Security and Medicare. Put all that aside. Look at everything else we're spending on. Look at the military. Look at what we're spending on.
And we have no
ammo.
We have no ammunition, and we announce that to the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And
where's the money going?
And we don't have enough people either. And
quality.
We don't have enough arms.
Quality. Wasteful spending. It costs $150 for a hammer. You know? I mean, it's insane. You know, the prices are ridiculous. It's wasteful government spending. That's, you know, eight guys to dig a hole. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I always had that.
The founders warned us about everything that's happening here. There's truly nothing new, nothing surprising, and the sad fact is the dumbing down of Americans, as we've talked many times before, and now we're in such a bad position. I mean, China has taken over much of this homeland, and I know there's going to be some people out in the chat room who are going to all be all upset. I'm a Chinese racist, whatever. But the fact is, it's out there. The troops have come in. We have sold out literally, and it was a Republican who did it. It was the Republicans who stood there and watched. It was the American people who were clueless as to why this is all happening and trying to unravel and undo this mess. And I'm telling you, it's as I personally, and Nathan has rejoined, so I'm going to go to Nathan in just a minute here. If Trump needs to be really emphasizing that the no-party affiliates have to get engaged, whether somehow, some way, we have to get them more engaged. We have to talk about the fact that they're being denied the right to vote on the primary, which is it's real, even though nobody wants to talk. We don't want to talk about what the Constitution says. But if we don't get those people engaged into, because I, as you know, I am one. I'm a no-party affiliate. The battle between the Democrats and the Republicans is all the same thing. It's all the uniparty. And to know that they could try to keep Trump off of the ballot. And, of course, we don't even know what's going to happen with all these crazy lawsuits. But I guess he could truly be the commander-in-chief from the prison. Who knows what they're going to do on this stuff.
Yeah, he could be.
Totally insane what is going on. And I get so disgusted. You think the Marjorie Taylor Greens out there, these are the ones you thought you had some faith in. This is where you talk about having don't trust or don't believe anybody. She seemed like she was on the right side. She seemed like she was a Trump supporter. Is she really a Trump supporter now? What was it that Laura Loomer was out there saying? And the other piece of this, which this goes to the primary thing. We're out in California. They're trying to change how the electors are. It was a winner-take-all kind of thing. They're trying to switch that to try to manipulate the California election for DeSantis. And this is all being done by McCarthy, or with McCarthy's blessings and all his friends in California. Where is Marjorie Taylor Greene? Oh, she's gonna be the prostitute or whatever for her. Or McCarthy, whatever it is, I've been so disgusted with her. And, of course, it is kind of funny that Steve Bannon won't have her on the show anymore. She has lost so much credibility. It'll be interesting to see if she gets reelected.
Why? What happened with her? I don't get it. I must have missed it. What happened?
Well, for starters, she went with McCarthy. She insisted on supporting McCarthy. Then she went and voted for that debt ceiling crapola and said, oh, we're going to take care of it in the appropriations. And then I think there was one other thing after that she got into. But here right now, McCarthy, she has been aligning herself with McCarthy. So if you're going to align yourself with McCarthy, just like if DeSantis is going to align himself with the Bushes and the Karl Roves out there, you're part of the establishment. And what has just recently happened.
Could she be doing
McCarthy,
it, Sally, though, to stab him in the back? Could she be doing it to stab, playing the devil's advocate, you know?
No, she probably wants to get something done, and McCarthy probably promised her something. She was bought off. She's basically been bought off. Because if she wants to be on some committee or do this or do that, whatever else, okay, I have to throw away my values so I can do this one thing I want to do. And the fact is, because she's aligning herself with McCarthy, she is stabbing Trump in the back because McCarthy is stabbing Trump in the back. He was out there telling his California donors to give the money to DeSantis, and, of course, who knows what his role is when they're trying to change these electors out there in California. She sold her soul because she somehow thinks she's going to be different than all the rest. She's a perfect example of kind of what Cindy was saying. They go there with the best of intentions, and then they get sold off. They're going to say, hey, if you don't do this, I'm not going to let you do this. Well, you want to save those children? Okay, we'll let you go over on this committee, but you got to do all these other things. Otherwise, you're not going to get to do that. So, okay, you sold out the country for that one thing. And that's really what, to me, that's kind of what's happened to her. She has sold her soul, which is what I said on a voice message that I left in her office at one point. And I would encourage people to call and say, you know, we really thought you were the real deal. She compare her to what Matt Gaetz did. Her and Matt Gaetz were really closely aligned at one point, but I don't see that happening now. So
I talked to her on Twitter a couple times. So maybe I'll have to send her a message again, like you said. I'm pissed off. I'll look into it, though.
It was Laura Loomer who said, somebody ought to ask Marjorie Taylor Greene, when is she going to start supporting Trump and stop supporting McCarthy? Because right now she has chosen sides. McCarthy is not a Trump supporter. Anybody that thinks McCarthy, even though Trump was, once again, Trump goes out there and drinks the McCarthy Kool-Aid or whatever, he supported him for being Speaker of the House. Trump, when it comes to these political deals, the art of the deal, Trump seems to make some pretty crappy ones when it comes to that stuff, just like McConnell and stuff like that. So, please do contact her. And, Nathan, you're back. You wanted to chime in again?
Yeah. I got woke up whenever I heard somebody throw in how we need to use the committee woman or committee men to get involved and do their part. I can't find any committee person in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Amendments. It's we the people. If everybody just, there's no two teams in the room. If everybody just got in the room and they had their discussions and they voted only their conscience, we would see where America really is, not where they're taking us. And you can see this right now, and I just recently, it was a while back, a pastor out in Oklahoma was really chastising his congregation because there's Christians in his church that didn't vote. Some of them wasn't registered, and he was lighting them up. So I emailed the county commission, county election, and asked him, can you send me the breakup of, parties? And I sent it to him, and then I called and talked to him. I said, right there is the problem. You're telling these people violate your conscience. Why don't you listen to what they're saying? Everybody get in the room like you're doing right now, and everybody's got their ideas. But we don't need to get organized. America didn't get organized when it started. It's just a bunch of people pulled together and did what they had to do. And there was leadership in it, but it wasn't. Let's manipulate it to beat this other side. It wasn't about that. It was let's just pull together and live our values. There is no committee person in the Constitution. That is the two-party system's way of keeping everybody at the state and the county organized. And the people that don't go to vote, the people that don't go to the polls and vote, they're told you're the reason that Democrat won.
Well, the two-party system would destroy us. It's that simple.
And
Washington said this. He warned us. And that's exactly what's happening. And try to get people off the high horses of these two stupid parties, especially when you go into the media, because, again, that's where the money is at. It's all about the money, and that's, which is what Cindy has said many times, and she's absolutely right. It's all about the money. We have a government for sale, and right now trying to take back the working class, what actually really truly made this country, we have been rendered basically powerless and defenseless in so many respects.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Snyder is a perfect example. I just wish that was
Abraham Lincoln. He was one of the worst presidents that we ever had.
Nathan, you still there?
Here's what I'm saying. If everybody just did just think about what you believe. Just leave it at that. Don't join others. And as you engage people or you listen to people, you find, I agree with this guy or this guy's wrong, and you'll get into challenging them. But we can't change this guy's mind over here unless we do it as a group. So that tells me we don't really know what we believe or what others believe. We only know what the group's motive is. You know,
why do we have to change someone's mind, though? Why do we have to change someone's mind? You know, we have to go by the rule of law, the Constitution.
But the thing is we're not living by
the
Constitution.
Would be changing
the mind. We got to look at what does the Constitution say, and then why we're not doing it. So we got to challenge each other's minds. We got a two-party system.
Right.
We got a two-party system that you can't find in the document.
Correct.
Right.
Anything that when they divide, it's a divide and conquer. That's what the political parties do. You know, it's just I get so disgusted time and time again listening to the people saying that we have to have these two parties. There's a problem. Washington spelled it out. He warned it. Just what Jefferson said, He also said something, I want you to give them the right to write their own paychecks. That's another story. But Jefferson's been saying it, too, that you term limits.
Would a third party bring balance to everything? I mean, because we're not going to get rid of two parties.
We don't need any parties.
That's exactly the point. There, across the nation, how many political parties are there? I mean, the Libertarian Party, which is actually probably the most viable, if you want to call it viable, third party that's out there, but you have the Constitution Party, you have the Green Party, you have all these other parties, and to what some will say, well, you're going to split it all across, and you're going to get 20% here, 20% there, whatever. Get rid of the parties. Get rid of the parties. And again, I've said it right along, if these are private entities, they should not be part of our ballot. They are private entities. If they want to go have a convention someplace and decide who they think they want to put on the ballot, whatever
that.
Else, who they would support on
I'm
their own
that.
That way, you know, but,
and,
they,
but the
ballot should
they don't
not
need to
be controlled
just,
by the parties. What's that?
Yeah, they shouldn't. These parties are, these are just like a golf club or a basketball club. You know, I might not want to be a part of either one of them because that's not my thing. But whenever I'm forced in to have to choose with one side, we don't know. That means everybody has not really got a choice. And I have as many politically parties as you want, but let's live by what the document says, and there is no political system in there that represents two parties. You know, this is what we got right now. I mean, some of the most educated people I've ever heard are mad at Pence because he didn't certify the elections, and they can't show you where that is the vice president's job. That is what we know in the two-party system. That's why we send like if there's an election, like the 2000 election, the presidential election that was razor thin, Supreme Court don't get to decide who the president's going to be. The Congress does. There's nothing in the Constitution that says send it to the courts. If Congress needs to sit down and look at everything that happened and come up with the solution. But, again, we are in two parties. We're in only two groups, and all the other groups don't really have a voice. So we got two groups running the show, and it comes down to they really are one group. They're a two-headed snake.
Yeah.
Because how
and
can
as
they
we've
get
said
together?
In the past,
and,
yeah,
owned
and
by
the
Federal Reserve.
But not to get into the Federal Reserve just yet, but coming back to these voters, we have to remember – the facts out there, over 50% of the American voters, legal voters, do not affiliate with either of those two parties. There are either a few of them in the third parties, and the majority are no party affiliates. There's something seriously wrong when you're omitting over 50% of the people out of the primary process, which is what's happening.
Which means these people either sit the process out, they don't get involved, or they violate their conscience.
Yeah, that's my that's what happened with me, my primary. But nobody could vote. Only Republicans could vote. What the hell kind of crap is that? You know? I mean, that's not right.
And it's unconstitutional for the federal office. The state level is a whole other thing. Who knows what's in your state constitution? But at the federal level, you're not allowed to charge you a poll tax or other tax. To force me to be part of a private entity, that I have to be a member of a private club, is an unconstitutional tax on my voting rights. It's totally unconstitutional. And I mean, of course, Nathan's been putting it out there a lot. Nathan and I have had many conversations, and I'm out there putting it out there now. Will anybody ever say that? Because you got these two parties who have a total stronghold on this process. And if we cannot undo what the two parties are doing, again, nothing's going to change. And the two parties are promoting the machines. And the fact that they would play games, this is where, you know, we talk so much about the Democrats rigging the machines and this and that, and what, which they did. But the Republicans have done it, too. Don't anybody think that foolishly that the Republicans haven't played games on this kind of stuff, too. And then to try to even suggest that they would say, if you don't take a loyalty oath to go out there and say that you're going to support the Republican candidate, if you refuse to take this loyalty oath, you can't be on the ballot. That is the
most
freedom
clause.
I hope she can get that oath going. You know why? Because Trump is going to go back to what he did back in 16. If the Republicans aren't going to, if I'm the candidate, If I'm the one that wins and the Republicans aren't going to endorse me, then I'm going to run as an independent. And that just caused panic. Oh, no, because then Hillary will be our president. And then that hurt them. But you see, it just goes back to there is no – my vote don't matter. They're the ones up there deciding it, you know. And this is the whole thing. We need to hear this. And I can't get away from this thing. That 12803, you know, if I was in Washington and I learned of that, I would go back and get on TV back in my state and start saying, he just did this. He just wiped away the sovereignty of the U.S. Constitution. He gave up our rights to our country. We have no sovereignty. We have no economy. But not one Republican or Democrat jumped up and said, whoa, you can't do that. You know, so we're not living by the Constitution. And we're not voting our conscience. We're voting whatever it is they want us to do.
Well,
that's
yeah, and because, just like you said over time and time again, you're voting the lesser of two evils, the lesser of whatever. We don't vote our conscience, and that's because the American voter is excluded from the process. If you're not part of the Klan, if you're not part of the cartel, whatever you want to call it, then you're not going to be allowed to participate. And the stuff that we were reading, especially with Florida, when you go through and see how they do the electors and all the different things, the truth is it really true because they've already got these electors selected when it comes to the presidential stuff. Truthfully, they try to claim that they hold to what's voted at the local, but I'm not convinced of any of that. That's kind of why I said, if you're going to keep the machines and whatever else, then don't waste your time voting. What's that?
One good thing I hope DeSantis can do is get people learning about it. Most people don't know about it. And I think maybe I had a little hint of him getting this because whenever they sent me that bill, I can send it to you, about they say foreign people from other countries. And I called his office and I said, I'm going to send this to you. And I'm also sending you Executive Order 12803. I said, because this is not about foreigners coming over here having the right to buy land. This is countries coming over here. And if you could look at how much of Florida is owned by another nation, you ain't going to tell them they can't leave because you know what? You might be able to evict somebody in your neighborhood, but you're not going to evict a country that's got a military from their property. That's going to be a hard one to get around. And they're in our country. Mm. Yeah, okay, let's see how that happens. That's why I say let's read the Constitution and show up with a pencil and a bottle of ink when we vote so that you got ink
on your
fingers.
6%.
So,
6% of the land in Florida owned by foreigners.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, and how much of this whole country is owned by foreigners? We have another caller, and this one, I'm not familiar with this one. It's 3943. Please give us your first name.
Hi, Sally. It's Suzette.
Oh, hey. I didn't recognize that number. I should have recognized that. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Are you delivering a message for Brother Warren?
I know. I'm delivering a message actually to Nathan, if I may.
Okay.
Just to correct the record. The people in January 6th weren't there to ask the Supreme Court they didn't want the Supreme Court to overturn the election. They didn't want Pence to overturn the election. It was a procedural thing where House Republicans had objected to some representatives from states, there were three of them, to the election tallies. And so they had a proper senator sign off on that for them so that way they could begin procedures into investigating those states. That's all they wanted was an investigation to specific states, and that procedure was crushed by Nancy Pelosi. She's like, no, we're not going to do that. I don't care. And it's even actually in the record of procedures for that day in the Library of Congress. And so they were ignored, and even though they went about it properly. And so all they wanted was an investigation with those states, and the courts ignored the fact that that's what they were asking for. They weren't asking for anybody to overturn anything. They just wanted it looked into. And if it came out the same way, it came out the same way, but there were just a lot of suspicious things that had gone on. And so
that's right.
So it wasn't dumb. They were like, trying to break in to say, we want it overturned.
Yeah, but there's
now,
a lot
the mistake
of people
that
out
was
there.
Made, hold on, Nathan. The mistake that, to me, the mistake that was made with Jan 6 is that they didn't properly, and of course, hindsight kind of thing, they didn't warn people, don't allow yourself to be entrapped. And they saw that one guy, Ebsen or Ebsen, whatever his name was. He was out there, mm-hmm. We got to go in the Capitol. We got to go. And people were calling him the Fed. They kept saying that. But at
right.
the Trump and company, at the higher level, those who organized this protest there, they should have said, do not go in the Capitol. Do not let yourself be misled. Even if the cops invite you in, even though that's entrapment, they invited you in. They moved the gates, the barriers. They told you to come in. They stood there while you did that. They never did anything to stop you. They led you to believe it was okay. The whole thing is they should have been warned, there's going to be evil amongst us, and don't go in. Stay where – and that's what needs to be done today. There needs to be another march on D.C. and say, we're here legally, and we're going to be doing what we're doing, but we're not going in any of those buildings. You're not going to allow yourself to be entrapped. I just wish there'd have been more discussion.
Unless there's an organized effort to arrest them, unless there's an organized, lawful way to arrest them.
But see, Sally, and you're right about the hindsight. If we just had that, that would be great. But the American people that were there, they were singing, they were praying, they were all because never dreamed that their own government would entrap them in something like that. You know, and so the ones that there were agitators that were not supposed to be there, but they were, and they were our government, and that's been already proven. And then there were the people. And so, that's why they were walking in awe, looking around, and mind you, you're right. They should have thought a little bit, more as far as their government being as devious as they are, but not realizing, wow, look at, we're actually in the people's house. Check this out, and they've got this look of wonderment. And so they paid for it. And that's unfortunate.
Well, the emotion,
from that.
The emotion of one or two people can spark others in the crowd that didn't come there to be in trouble. A good example, let's say we're standing in the parking lot here and we see two guys get in a fight over there, and we run over there to watch them fight, and then somebody says something about that guy, man, da-da-da, and this guy over here, and hits him because he said something, and none of us are a part of these two guys fighting, and it's easy to stir emotion up into a wrong response when you ain't thinking. And there's a lot of people that ain't thinking. They're living by their emotions. But here's my big stink with the elections. If you read the 12th Amendment, there's nothing in there that says the vice president certifies any election. The only thing he does, that the president is certified by the House, and the Senate certifies the vice president. The only duty the vice president has is he gets to open the envelope. It doesn't even say he gets to be the one to read it.
Right.
But I mean, I know people in the media. I listen to them all the time, and I can name one really big guy in this country on the radio that he really keeps trashing Pence for letting America down, and I've asked him, where do you get that he is the one that certifies it? Well, it's in the 12th. Copy and paste it. He can't, but he still keeps saying it.
It goes to whether or not he accepts the electoral, electors at a certain point. And also, when there is an objection to the election, as far as the winner and whatever objections they raise as to why, he is not supposed to be involved in any type of certification at all. But because there was objections that were made, now he's involved. But at that point, he's just supposed to certify the electors that were chosen as far as these are the proper ones.
No, he doesn't certify the elections.
So,
he doesn't certify any electors.
The electors.
So, he doesn't certify anybody. He doesn't even certify them. It is the Senate that does it.
I'm not
the
sure
Senate
about that
is
one.
The one that does it. Read 12, the 12th Amendment.
Yep.
Article 6. Article 6 is it's just Article 6 repeated.
Mm-hmm.
No,
so what's
Article
the
six.
Purpose
two,
of the ceremonial
two.
Effort of the vice president then? Because he's there ceremonially, but he has to be have part of some sort of process if something goes wrong. What's
he
even there?
Yeah,
well,
he breaks
really.
A tie.
Today.
They're supposed to
yeah,
break a tie.
He's not the one deciding who the winner is.
Right. I'm talking about votes for legislation. Legislative.
Yeah,
well,
that is
for legislation, but not for the election. For the what is the role
Article
of the vice
one,
president
section,
sitting there in
Article,
the election piece? There's nothing.
Article
right.
1, Section 1. Article 1, Section 1 says all laws, it all goes back to the Congress, and the Congress is the one that sets it up. The courts, there's nothing in here about the court being a part of the process, but the court's purpose is to judge. The same thing you do when you walk across the highway, you look both ways, you make a judgment, and you get across the highway. That is the only thing the judges do. They don't get to decide, we're going to make this decision, and that becomes a law.
Right.
There's
if they
nothing
can determine
the
constitutionality of the states and their changes that they made for COVID elections.
And they chose not to.
And so that's where they come in.
their actions when it came to any of that kind of stuff was pretty weak in the grand scheme of things. You
wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention
call.
That real quick as far as the intentions
okay.
were of the people on January 6th. Thank you, Sally.
Yeah. Hold
my call.
Hold on. Thank you. Just remember, we're going to run over a little bit here, and within about 4 minutes, the internet feed will cut off. So if you want to continue listening and discussing, call in now, or stay on the phone so that you don't get dropped off here. I see there's two other callers out here. Let's see in there. Both hiding their identity. Now, one of them, I'm sure, is the poor person who said he was going to boycott my show tonight. So if it ends up being Brother Warren on one of them, I don't know if I'm going to be able to let him talk a whole lot. So we'll see who this person is. And then we do have another person, which could be Sarge, and we can see if he wants to chime in. Hello, caller.
Well, this is Brother Warren, Sally. I'm actually clearing out my desk and packing up my
If you're going to say that kind of stuff, I'm not going to waste my time. You said you were boycotting. You promised me you were going to boycott my show.
No,
I'm
clearing
you?
Out my desk. I'm packing
okay.
up my things, Sally. This is it. But I just want to contribute
okay.
one more thing to the topic.
I'm
going to
give you
on
1 minute.
Okay, on the order of entrapment, you know Janet Yellen had, the Treasury Secretary had gone to China. And just today, the Chinese Foreign Ministry issued a warning to Chinese citizens living in the United States to beware of entrapment by the U.S. And they mentioned...
You mean get attacked in the cities by the African-American community, right? Because they were targeted.
Can I read the little letter, Sally?
Yeah,
from
you can do it
Minister?
Fast because you promised
okay.
you were going to boycott my show tonight.
This from the foreign minister to Chinese citizens living in the U.S. came out today. The United States has had a longstanding issue with gun violence and racism against Asians. Chinese nationals entering or leaving the United States are frequently subjected to invasive questioning and harassment by American authorities. U.S. officials have recently unfairly detained Chinese citizens, blamed China for the country's fentanyl issue, and lied about China's effort to track down and recover stolen property and fugitives. There is a serious threat to the safety of Chinese citizens due to entrapment, prosecution, and kidnapping that occurs across borders. Chinese embassies and consulates in the United States, as well as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Consular Affairs Department, warn Chinese nationals living in the United States to be cautious about the local social security situation and to take extra precautions. Visitors to the United States on a short-term basis should be cautious in order to avoid becoming entrapped by the U.S. If you are in need of immediate help, please contact the Chinese embassy or consulate in the United States. So that came out today.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Can you save any of them?
They got more authority than our authorities.
He loves China.
Oh, yeah, he does love China. And he, just remember, I have witnesses. I have witnesses that he said he was not going to. He was going to boycott the show tonight. So, anyway. Okay, well, I gave him his 2 minutes or whatever it was. Now there is another caller out there. And again, well, it looks like probably the other line feed from the Internet has been cut. But let's see who this caller is. Is this Sarge by any chance or someone else?
John Doe.
Oh, hey, well, that would have been my next guess. Hey, John Doe, how are you doing?
Close enough. Hey, it's always an honor to be lumped in the same category as Sarge. But yeah. What I wanted to share is just in reference to what you guys were just talking about in Vice President certifying elections, it wasn't really that. There's a particular rule that if a senator supports a motion moved by the representative of the House, then they can remand all of the electoral ballots back to the state. Paul Kosar made the motion. Ted Cruz supported it in sponsorship, and then the what I call the McCarthy Mafia 200 shot it down. There's the scam. They basically threw the rules out the window and told the Americans go, you know, kick rocks.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yep. Yep. I remember they were following all the process, the normal process procedures, and the between whatever McCarthy was doing there. But that was right about the same time when they tried to open the gates to get all the other stuff going. So they had to stop the proceeding and all this other stuff, and everybody had to run for cover and all this other insanity. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi's daughter had to be there filming and taking and doing a documentary on it at the same time, which I thought was really interesting. And, of course, the bomb thing that they can't figure out who put out there. It was all a farce. It's all
you
a farce.
You see Mitt Romney, and like Iran? He ran like a little girl. He's like a little bitch.
The whole thing was disgusting. And then you have – and Liz Cheney, the Republicans, I'm telling you, there's a uniparty. There's no difference in these people. You know, Matt Gaetz, regardless of what party he'd be affiliated with, he'd be the same person. It wouldn't matter what he would be. We've got a few people out there like Matt Gaetz, but we don't have near enough. And how do you get rid of the other ones? I don't know. I truly don't know. But the other part, we, you know, kind of getting back to the good old thing with DeSantis. Is there any reason to trust DeSantis? Does anybody on this call have any reason to think they would trust what DeSantis is saying and doing? And, you know, why, to me, there's no reason. I have no faith. The various things like we've talked about, we haven't even talked about what he did when it came to the property rights and signing away stuff to the developers and eminent domain and all this other stuff. We talked a little bit about the Florida property, playing games with the language of the Chinese, owning it and everything else. And, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I said, DeSantis has done some good things, but in the grand scheme of things, I can't trust him. And for I could take most of these things, topics that are on the sheet here and say why I wouldn't trust him. I mean, so does anybody on here have any reasons to think they would? Do you, and I guess this goes back to, I think it was Cindy who asked the question, if they keep Trump off the ballot, what would happen? And I want to know now, see, there's a group of people in Florida that are just all jumping up and down for DeSantis. They were all in support of changing the law so he could run. Go ahead and change the law for your political agenda routine, which I think is disgusting. So,
yeah.
So how many people would vote for DeSantis in the state of Florida or in the country? I don't know. How many would all these Republicans, because they're lost souls, they follow a party, they don't follow their heart or their ethics or integrity, they follow a party, would all jump on board with DeSantis? And it would, you know, as a no-party affiliate, I wouldn't be voting in that primary unless I go and change, which I really don't have any intention to do right now. Who knows? I may go register in the other party so I can vote against somebody. I mean, that makes as much sense as anything else. But how many people would vote for DeSantis if he's the one?
Never.
Not me. I mean, he did a great – well, not a great job, but he did a good job with the COVID, you know, laws and not following what other blue states are following, but I think they're all, this is both sides of the aisle, are just stringing us along until the final takeover, so to speak, because you know, where they're ruled irrelevant. And pretty much they are now, and that's why nothing's being done or getting done. They're false promises. Yeah, we're gonna impeach so and so and this and that. It's like, yeah, yeah, sure, whatever. But yeah, I think we're just being strung along right now. Back in 2016, there was a rumor that there would never be another Republican after Trump. They would be in the office of the presidency, and so I think we're seeing that happen now. Back to you, Sally.
Thank you. Any other comments? Anyone else?
I agree with
that's
you.
What happened. Yeah, I have. That happened with Lincoln.
I would want to augment when you say that, you know, nothing's getting done. I think they know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose, and they're making it look like they're trying to get things done, but they're purposefully playing possum or whatever in order to make us think, oh, yeah, they got our back, but they're really plotting against us on all sides. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not the greatest communicator in the world, but I think they intend to do what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, we're saying the same thing. We're saying the same thing.
Cindy or Karen?
Oh, I'm on. Wait a minute. I was on mute. Okay. Great conversation, and I happen to agree. I really, other than working in your local community, boycotting, I don't know what else we can do except make sure that Donald Trump gets elected and then he does support him. And that was a big problem the last time because many of us weren't there. We didn't support. We didn't say no. We didn't say, you know, loud enough, so to speak. I think it'll be very interesting with Tucker being off the air and him not being able to be get the time from Fox. So it's going to be more difficult. And I believe that it's not going to be easy. And unfortunately, the elephant in the room is China, and they're just giving away all of our money. So we give them money, and then they come and give it to and buy our politicians.
Yeah.
We're not in a good spot right now, but that doesn't mean we can't get out of it.
I have a comment.
The other, yeah, real quick, let me just mention, since you mentioned Tucker Carlson, there's going to be some kind of a special. It's an election summit or something. I'd have to go look what the name on it again was. And Glenn Beck is helping to set it up, whatever. It's Tucker who's going to be asking the questions to these candidates, apparently. That's the way I'm understanding it. And I believe it's supposed to be this Friday. I don't know if anybody else has heard of it. I just heard of it today. So keep that in mind. So Tucker hasn't been totally silenced, and then Glenn Beck is supposed to do some piece right after the one thing, Tucker Carlson's piece of it.
Okay,
it's
BlazeMediaSummit.com, and the information about the summit is there. Apparently, it's a panel, and Tucker will be asking questions. So I think that should be quite good. you know, it really doesn't matter of all of them that are sitting there. You know, they're all basically the same, except Vivek is slightly different. The rest of them are all part of the same party.
Exactly. So we'll see what comes out of it, if anything. You know, I'll find it interesting, more to the fact that Tucker's out there and that Fox News hasn't been able to silence them, like they might want to. But it just shows the real reason, and Fox News has definitely dropped in their popularity. I can't remember what the numbers are, but Newsmax is now taking over.
Yes, and they have been downgraded by the stock exchange, so they lost quite a bit. And I couldn't be happier, and I hope someday Paul Ryan is groveling on the street for a job.
Yeah, guy. He's a typical Republican. This is what the Uniparty nutcases are. Now, I have one other caller out here, and let's see. Hopefully I'm not getting Brother Warren again. Caller? Can we get your first name, please? Okay,
who are you talking
to?
Talking to me?
There was one more caller who was out there wanting to speak. So I just opened the mic for this one caller.
That was me.
They don't identify their phone number.
Deb?
Oh, Deb, is that you out there?
Yes, it is me. I'm sorry, I don't have any name on my phone. I'm incognito.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, well, very interesting discussion tonight. You asked about DeSantis. Why would anybody trust DeSantis? Well, I would never trust DeSantis. And many years before DeSantis ran, right when he was running for congressman, I was watching him. And he was very inspirational for some reason. I really liked him. But then when we had the race and Marco Rubio ran for president, all right, everybody remember that. Marco Rubio, we thought we could finally get rid of that son of a gun. And he lost the presidency, and he wasn't going to run for his Senate seat again. And at that time, Ron DeSantis was running for Marco Rubio's Senate seat. And he was gone. He was going for it for a few months. And all of a sudden, somebody pulling the strings on Ron DeSantis said, step back and get away, and promised him probably the governor position. Because he did step back, and Marco Rubio was our only choice on the ballot for the Republican Party. So that's how we got stuck with Marco Rubio again, the gang member of eight. They were all the same. The Council on Foreign Relations owns both parties. So how could anybody ever think that these parties are going to ever work for us? Like Sally said, they are independent. They work for the Council on Foreign Relations. This came out many years ago. We have no say. The election can't be fixed. The only way I think that we could fix the country is if we got rid of the IRS and went on to some kind of a flat or fair tax where the government could never come after us for money. The money would be taken out on a reasonable rate on each product, and used things would have no tax on them like they had discussed that fair tax. At one time. That is the only way to save us. Other than that, I can't think of a fair election that could happen or anything like Cindy Lucas said about the money. It's all follow the money, and unless we cut the money, we're all dead in the water. And really, you know, as far as I'm concerned at this point, you can all pick your own ruler. I agree with Nathan that you got to vote your own conscience, and unfortunately, every time I ever did that, my choices never won. So that's all I wanted to say. And I wish us all luck because we need it.
Say a prayer for America because that we
pray for America. Exactly. Pray for America. Yeah.
Sally. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
Oh, Sally.
Okay.
Was it Cindy or I'm not sure who was. Somebody was starting to speak. Was it Cindy or Karen? I'm sorry, Miss.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay. I was going to go back to China, just so you know. I have a friend who just got down to Florida. She has a place here. But she's she teaches for the hearing for kids and for hearing and in Boston, okay? Well, she said to me, I had a mental breakdown. She had to have a mental leave of absence. She's done. She's leaving in December for good. The reason is she said the Chinese own everything. Everything in Boston is owned by the Chinese. I said, well, what about the north side? The north side where all the Italians live. Well, now the Chinese are buying up all that. She says you can't even talk to people. They run everything. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. So they're here, and they've been here for a long time, and I don't think it really makes a difference now. I think they're coming in droves at the border. I think many politicians know about it, and they'll do nothing about it because, again, a lot of them are compromised, and I feel sorry about it. But I will stand up for one thing, and the woman before about Marco Turncoat Rubio, the Gang of Eight, which we all hated and whatever. But I will say one thing about Marco this time. He really understands about China. If you're watching what he's doing now, he really is. It's almost like he grew up or something happened. But he hasn't said a peep. He is supporting Trump. got his head down, and he's really working on China. And even Steve Bannon said, read the book. His book is supposed to be fantastic, and called him a nationalist populist. The only thing that I know that I can tell you that I know about Marco Rubio is when someone told him he had the laptop, said they're all compromised, and, you know, Marco might have been gay when he was young. I mean, if that's what they have on him, but they don't really have anything on him. I mean, I could say other things about other people, but they've all been, you know, something, you, maybe you do something in your past, whatever, but, you know, China is a really big threat, and we don't think it is. It's not in the threat. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that China is going to attack Taiwan. I think they play that game. They're in trouble financially, but they're here in the States. They're already here. And we didn't even talk about it. But they're all in Harvard, crying out loud, and in all these other universities. So, you know, we have to wise up. And I like some of the bills that Marco Turncoat Rubio is working on right now with China, against China, even though I will still call him the turncoat, but he is getting a little bit better.
Good. I hope so. For our sake.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, you were trying to say something?
Yeah, I was saying, aren't we hearing some talk today about a base in Cuba?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's that one too. Yeah, I'm telling you, there could be no signs of treason than what we have today. I just don't. If this isn't treason, I don't know what is.
That's what I was thinking of her, you know, picking Marco Rubio apart, but that one thing she noticed about was China. He's trying to confirm. I think he sees, you know. Even though he's glad he's in America, he probably has a heart for Cuba, coming from his roots, and would like to see something good happen there. And he probably,
yes.
I'm not in his mind, but he probably would be like, I would not like that. So that might be why he's so astute on this. But Marco Rubio, I wouldn't throw him as far as I could throw him with my left arm, and I'm right-handed.
Yep. Now, Nathan, earlier you said something, or actually, is I think you sent me an email in reference to Arizona and their water supply.
What the problem is, and I don't know I got family that lives in Mesa and Phoenix. I learned this from a book. I read several books years ago trying to learn about the Great Depression because I heard older people talk about it growing up. But a lot of Arizona had, you know, rivers like the Grand Canyon going through there, and they came up with the dams. There's a bunch of dams on that side of the world. But they got dams that, you know, flow the water into the populated areas, you know. I read and heard people talk about South California, Southern California was just real hard for, you know, being able to farm until they did the dams and stuff. And right now in Arizona, and I got family that's telling me this, man, it's hot and the water is so expensive. And so let me tell this guy, hold on a second. Hey, I'm on the phone. I'll call you as soon as I get off, okay? Almost.
China
almost.
Owns 362,000 acres of land in the country
okay.
right now.
Okay, but anyway, with this NAFTA, not NAFTA, 12803. This was a part of NAFTA, but the 12803, the Saudis owns the rights to the water there, and if you look at that one news story that they did, and this is a major news story that most of us don't trust. But right across the water is this farm owned by Saudis, and the river that passes over, this guy's farm is dried up. He drops a rock into a well, and you hear it ding, 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 and it's put him out of business because they've got the water going over to their side. It's draining their aqueducts, everything. But the water, most of the water that they are doing is they're sending it back to Saudi Arabia. And that's causing people in you know, this is America's water, okay? But you can't tell them that because of 12803. And this is what we're going to see more and more and more of. And one day we're going to wake up and like these the military, the China telling citizens of America, you know, if you have any problems, let us know. I'm telling you, we're going to wake up one morning, and it's going to be over. And we're going to say, no, bull crap. And they're going to say, oh, no, watch. And we're going to have nothing to do. And we're going to have people kicking in our doors, taking our guns that ain't Americans, you know. And because we've sold our country, we didn't. The people, you know. And again, it goes back to, and I would love to send it to you if you want it, Sally, the numbers of Reagan. And he was a rock star because of the abortion thing. He was pro-life. But when he came in, the amount of – there wasn't that a lot of abortions happening, but it went straight through the sky and it stayed up. And it's the year that he left, the next year it started dropping down. It's continued even now to drop down over all this fuss. But what makes me mad is this guy came in and won our heart. He made us laugh. We liked his humor. And whenever he stood firm, man, we felt safe. But it's like that husband that tells you I love you and I make a good living for you, and you find out he's got a girlfriend on the side, and we're not allowed to talk about that. You know, there's no loyalty.
But what about his pro-life act? The pro-life act of 1988. He didn't support abortion.
He didn't. As a governor, he did. As a governor, he did. I will send you.
Reagan was a Democrat.
Maybe he changed. I don't know. I know as president he didn't.
Well, listen, okay, maybe he did change in his mind, but not really, because whenever I quit smoking, I quit buying cigarettes. Listen, whenever he came in, he was pro-life, and the churches and the pastors are endorsing him, he's strong. There's no one that can beat him. But he had the ink pen. He had the ink pen that if he would have told Congress, y'all need to get in a fuss and come up with a bill, send it to me, and I will sign it that will end this stuff, okay? But here's the other part. His vice president, George H. Bush, is the one that wrote Title X, the bill that funds Planned Parenthood in 69 and 70. They voted for it in the Senate. Was 100-0. Nixon signed it. And it's the same with the EPA.
I know.
Again. Same stuff
on June 8th, 1988, Ronald Reagan very clearly, he says, I urge you to pass this measure promptly and thereby join me in helping to protect their rights, the rights in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of the unborn. And this is the Pro-Life Act, 1988. So,
I guess his pen ran out of ink. Because, listen, here's something that happens in politics. You got one law, like we just seen it got thrown down, Roe v. Wade's over. It's over, right? But Title X still is funded by the Congress. Obamacare funds abortion. You know, if you want to get an abortion, Obamacare will fix it. Okay, so you know, do you see what they're doing? It's like that guy that keeps telling his wife, I love you, honey, I love you. As long as you tell me I love you and bring you flowers once in a while.
I know. But in the PRO Act, like, though, it limits federal dollars from – I mean, that's what his job is. That's all he can do as president is federal dollars would not support any abortions in this country. I mean, I think that's pretty darn good as president.
His vice president's Title X funds at with federal dollars. Matter of fact, if you go back to 2016,
Ronald Reagan was dead.
No. Listen, he was alive whenever he did everything he did to keep abortion going.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will send it to you.
I will send it to you. I'll send it to you and you can correct me. But listen, I do not get my news from anything but the vote record. I get my news from what the politician says. And he sits there and says, and this is as a governor, that he believes the Constitution gives you the right to defend yourself. If someone is trying to hurt you, you have the right to take his life. And he said, if a baby is threatening the life of a mother, she has the right to defend herself and get an abortion.
Well,
I don't know where that kind of reason comes. I don't know where that kind of reason comes from, but you know,
well,
it makes sense to some degree.
A lot of people say that,
but I don't get my news from anybody.
I don't know if a mother's life, you know, if it's a baby or a mom, you know, I believe that mom, you know, I don't think the mom should die. I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, that's, you know,
well,
I believe that up to the family, you know.
Yes, up to the mom and the dad.
That's the question when it comes to when is an abortion legitimate. Is it right to have an abortion after a rape, or is it if the mother's life is at risk and those kind of things? Those have been questions.
Let's abort the criminal that raped her. Let's abort the criminal that raped her. Let's abort the criminal that raped her. Okay,
well,
if she wants to get an abortion, that's another issue. But we put all the emphasis on the baby that had nothing to do with this. The criminal, where's he at? Is he going to spend 6 months in jail and get out?
Well, not today. The criminal will be let out again. So it's like, hey, go rape a few more people. Because we don't have any law enforcement now, in case anyone hasn't noticed all the insanity of that. But the thing with Reagan, Reagan was also the one who did the amnesty of 1986. And that was all because he trusted the Democrats who were going to secure the border.
No, he didn't trust it. He didn't do that because he trusted the Democrats as a governor.
Well,
with him talking.
I think he was a pretty darn good president. I think he was a pretty good president.
Well, I think he was a good president, too. I think he was a great president, but he gypped us when he's sitting here telling us he believes something, and he's voting or he's signing things the wrong way. Whenever he was a governor, he gives out.
Yeah,
when he was governor,
he did make some mistakes. Yes, when he was governor, there was a lot of things that he did.
But he followed up. Those mistakes you say he made up, when he became a president, they become policy. Like the
he was against abortion.
Okay.
He was against the president's pro-life.
Hold on, everybody.
As soon as we get done, I'll send it to you. Joe, please hear this. I don't say something because I heard it on Sean Hannity or I heard it on whatever news station, or I got it off a website. I go straight to the vote record, and what caused me that I was a Republican from 78 at 18 years old, I followed, I was glad to have him and Bush as a soldier in the Army because I served under them, and I was glad that they were there. But whenever I got my first computer in 2004, and started learning how to do it, and I went back to the Great Depression. It was after the war is when it really started speeding up their records looking at this stuff. And I went down, after I seen that, I went down and switched to no party affiliate, and I vote for only citizen candidates. I don't get my record. If I can't find it in the vote record, okay, or the policy record, then I will just leave that one blank if I can't find anything on it. I'm not sitting here telling you something I can't send to you.
Okay, we go ahead and send that to us. The thing is, I don't want to spend the rest of the time we got left here talking about Reagan, but the when it comes to immigration, Reagan's definitely part of it. And I don't know, Karen and Cindy, Karen, I thought you – wasn't there some other stuff that Reagan did? We can't expect any of these people are going to do everything. What's the thing about the 80-20 rule? If you agree with them 80% of the time, whatever else, because they're never going to do everything you want. And we all know they're going to have to play some of the games once they get up there and that kind of stuff. So the question is, how honest can anyone be? Trump has probably been the most honest, but I'm not going to say I believe every single thing he said either, especially when we talk about COVID and that kind of thing.
Look at Jimmy Carter. He was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Good, great.
Yeah, so,
But Sally, yeah, they should at least honor your right of redress of grievance under the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Uh-oh.
In Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, your right to have the same privileges and immunities as all the other citizens in all the other several states and no title of nobility, Article 1, Sections 9 and 10. So therefore, that's all still a bunch of BS, too. Back to you.
Oh, yes. There is so much BS. I don't know that we... But I'm thinking specifically what there was something else. First off, of course, back in that day, what I knew of George H.W. Bush and what I know of him today in the Bush clan is completely different. I actually voted for Jeb, John Ellis Bush, once for governor in the Florida. Of course, I didn't do that twice either. Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Back then, it seemed like he was saying all the right things. He knew what to say. But I tell you, when I did my own research on the Bush clan, starting with Prescott Bush and the secret societies and everything else, you realize what they really are. And that's, I guess, what concerns me when it came to Reagan. It's like, did Reagan not know who this guy Bush really was? Apparently not.
I know.
And when
that,
he went,
yeah, I got to agree with you there.
The amnesty of 1986, which was... And, you know, it was the Democrats who were the ones who were agreeing to secure the border. Nobody wants to talk about that. And look what we have today. Right. And Trump said he was going to secure the border, and he was doing it, except that he kept getting pushback not only from the Democrats, but some of the Republicans, too, that kept throwing him under the bus, too. It's a very disgusting thing. And I'm of the opinion at this point, Trump is the only one who's got the backbone to take the bullets he's going to take, and I don't mean that literally. But the
shots
would
have been like Trump, Sally. You know who would have been like Trump? Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan would have been another Trump. I believe if Pat Buchanan became president, he was good.
Yep. Yep.
Well,
I would agree with that.
It's in your box now, both of y'all and Lori Ann. It's in your box.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Cindy, are you still there?
Uh-oh, we made her mad. She left.
Karen dropped. Karen sent me a thing that says she's going to have to drop. So I know that. Well, Cindy is still out there. I don't know if she's on mute talking or something. Because I'm kind of curious, because Karen had said something else in reference to Reagan. I'm trying to remember what it was. But it's with this. But Bush, George H.W. Bush, he was one of the worst. I mean, evil.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah.
I never voted for George W. Bush either. I didn't vote for him. I never did. Because once you start to realize what's really there, yeah.
You know, even whenever back in the day, whenever I was in young and I was all for Reagan, you know, looking back on it, and I thought I wasn't crazy about H, but I mean, I was happy with him. I served under him. Felt secure, but here's the thing: how could he work with this guy if he was so pro-life? How could he work with this guy that is basically the father of abortion in America, the abortion act and industry and everything? He's the one that wrote it, and you know, it's like how you know. I couldn't be a politician because I would ask him about it, and if he can't say, "Well, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Let's overturn it." I would go back and I would get on the news and say, hey, look, this guy lied to you. And that wouldn't make me real, you know, popular, I guess. But you're sitting there asking me to kind of like bury something that I'm giving my life to. So that's why, you know, I don't mean to make people mad or get them upset, but Reagan let me down. But back then, I was in the Army on the DMZ under Reagan. They brought the North Koreans brought two tons of chemicals down. I'm sleeping literally yards from this stuff. And he sent down, they were doing a bunch of debating in all of the countries, and Reagan, they would not move it. So Reagan sent down the order that if they use these chemicals, we'll evacuate as much of our military and dependents, and when the last plane's off the ground, they're going to nuke North Korea. That means I'm not going home. But I have peace of mind that you know, whatever I gave up, this guy's going to take care of after us. It'll be right. It'll be okay later on. It'll be, we ain't going to be no getting up and running from something. You know, we're going to do the job. And that was a conscious time in my life. I was for him. I mean, I wrote him a letter one time. I played a game with my just a kind of like a little stupid game with my. I wrote him a letter on a political issue. I got a letter back from the White House. It's a big envelope. And whenever we had mail call, because we're warders, we're away from the rest of the platoon and the battalion, they announced that I need to go see the colonel for my mail. And I went to see the colonel. And he goes, you got something from the White House. He goes, have you written the commander-in-chief on anything related to this, our mission? I go, no, it was a political issue. And he goes, are you sure? And I said, sir, if you want to open it up, you can read it. And he goes, no, no. And he gave it to me. But he goes, if you said anything about the mission and you broke your command, he goes, you will be in level with us. I said, sir, I promise you. And I started opening. I mean, I want you to read it. And he goes, no, no, no. So I went back to my where we were at. I go in the tent, and I'm sitting there, and I'm reading it. And he sent me a picture of him, right? And it wasn't that big of a deal then, because I had a kid from Miami ask me if he could have the picture, and he had his signature. I said, yeah, I wish I would have hung on to it. But I'm reading it, and these guys are like, what does it say? And he was just saying, he thanks for your comments and how proud he is of young people in the military, right? So what I did, and these guys wanted, what does it say, man? So I'm going to be funny. I'm just playing a game. So what I did is I took the letter, and I went out and I got my canteen. I took some matches. I lit it and put it in there and let it burn, poured some water in it, made a paste out of it, dug some little hole in the ground and dug it. That's how you get rid of documents so that it can never be retrieved. You can shred it and they'll put it back together, but you can't ever put it back together like that. And my lieutenant was asking me, what was in that letter? I said, it's classified, sir. I can't tell you.
Yeah, classified.
I'm just a PFC. I'm just a PFC. And I got everybody wondering, who is this guy? Maybe he's really a colonel, but with, disguised as a PFC. I just had fun with that. But I'll tell you, I felt secure with him. Felt secure with H. And whenever I was in my reserve time, whenever Clinton came in, and I just immediately started, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So I'm not going to mess with it. And I was for him. But, you know, it's just like I said, you learn something that hurt you. I voted for him because of all the things he was for. And then I find out he's for us being this one world community that, you know, where we're going to be one world community. We're going to be a socialist.
Yeah, New World Order. He was one who introduced New World Order after the ordeal in Kuwait. Now, this was the opportunity for a New World Order.
Five speeches.
Daddy Bush was an ambassador to China. He was ambassador to the UN. So, you know, he came back with a purpose. He came back. He wasn't representing us. He came back to represent the rest of the world in our country system, you know?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're the globalists. They are the globalists. And to try to tell people, but how many people voted for Bush just because they had an R by their name? I didn't vote for, I'm trying to remember, was that when Ross Perot was running against George H.W.? I voted for Ross Perot, and there were so many people who were saying, look what you did. You got Clinton elected and whatever else.
He was winning, He was winning, and he dropped out of the
Ross
race, remember?
Ross Perot could have won. That was the perfect example of a third party who could have done it, who really could have done it at that point. But, and I remember my mother used to talk about Ross Perot, and the truth is he really didn't want to he didn't really want to run for office, but he was sort of like what Trump has done. Here he was a millionaire and didn't really need the money or any of that kind of stuff. But he was so frustrated what he saw. NAFTA was the sucking sound of all the jobs going to Mexico and everything else that he seemed to do it more. And he was squeaky clean; they couldn't find any dirt on him. But he went out there and he caused.
You know what they did, Sally? They printed up a computer image.
made a video of his daughter on a sex tape, and it wasn't true. And they said they were going to put that out if he didn't drop out of the race. How dirty, huh?
You with me now? Y'all with me now? We're going to have to go over that one more time.
That
must have been John Doe doing that.
Orion.
Okay, I want to read something. Hold on first. This was what Lori put out there. This goes back to the water in Arizona thing. I wanted to read this. It is because they are growing alpha in Arizona, which is illegal to grow in Saudi because of how water intensive it is, which they then ship the alpha overseas in order to feed their cattle. So that's part of the reason, again, but regardless of why they did it, if you want to call that a legitimate reason, but the fact is we should not be selling any infrastructure. We should not be selling this country to foreign entities.
That's right.
Brother Warren is asking to say something else. I'll give him one more chance in just a minute here, but go ahead. What were you saying?
Let me say something real quick, and then I got to run because I got somebody waiting on me. But I just recently, and I don't follow golf. I don't know anything about it, but I'm changing the channel driving down the road, and I hear these people fussing, and I stop, and it's Fox News. Not Fox News, but Fox Sports Channel, and these guys are fussing because the Saudis paid some golfer $100 million and another one $80 million, and these guys are like, "Hey man, y'all need to get into this stuff. It's going to really work out." And so I'm trying to find out more. I came home, I looked into it. Saudi is buying into they're becoming a part of. They're going to be the owners of PGA. Okay, the golf thing, right? And they're buying it, and a part of this again. You know, we got them all over the place, and they're in our sports. You know, and
we'll kick them out of here.
We're
get them out of here.
Losing our identity. We're losing our identity.
We'll round them up.
But what I did, and I don't know anybody, but I started exploring. And I found two big names, I guess what you would call like the Rush Limbaughs of sports broadcasters. And I looked up their information, and I sent them an email showing them this 12803 and some other things. And then I called and I talked to somebody in their office. I don't know if it's going to make, but I pointed out to them, please tell them to at least look at it and don't think because it's something they don't understand, delete it. Because what we're doing, this is not just expanding our sports. It's literally giving up our sovereignty. Well, they've already given up. 12803 gave up our sovereignty, and it gave up our sovereignty and our economy, and we've been living it ever since, you know. But anyway, I don't mean when I get emotional and stuff. I don't take it personal. I try to read the Constitution as it reads, not read the history. Or what people tell me, and whenever I go to get my news, I go straight to a lot of it's over my head, but I do the best I can to work through it, and that's my news. I don't care what some guy's saying. I don't care that Ted Cruz is up there telling me he believes in pro-life. I got his vote record. I got him on camera talking about this stuff, and so I don't fall for that mess. But anyway, I gotta go, and thank you for what you guys do, and please keep doing it.
Hey, Nathan, happy to help you understand. I'd be more than happy to help you understand the Constitution better, brother.
I'll take you up on that.
We have some real constitutional scholars on this call, and that's what I really like, those who truly know the Constitution and want to follow it.
Yeah, the Constitution
and not
what someone says about it. I like that.
Yes. Exactly. The organic, we can talk about the organic and the corporate one, too. So we'll get into that on another show.
I wanted Joe to do one on that 12th Amendment that on the lawyers and not being able to run for office. I've heard about that, but I don't know anything. I've never seen it. I've looked for it. I don't know.
13th,
if
missing
right
the
right
idea. Amendment.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, the missing 13th Amendment.
If you do it on your show, I'll miss it. I just need to get the archive to it. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go away, man. I'm just going to go away.
Okay. Have a good evening. Thank you so much, Nathan. And hopefully you get your therapy for the week.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I hope
okay,
so.
Okay, I'm going to... It's not covered by Obamacare. What can I say? Brother Warren wants to add one more comment, so we're going to do that, and then after that, we're going to go around the table and finish up because we got about 15 minutes. Okay, now, Brother Warren, just remember, you promised to boycott my show tonight, so I'm really disappointed that you lied to me. But anyway, we'll give you a couple minutes here.
Well, tell Nate that I'd be glad to help him out with learning more about the Constitution as well, so just send him that message. Here's an article from a publication called Jacobin, and it says, Bernie is right. Extreme wealth concentration has turned America into an oligarchy. A new congressional report commissioned by Bernie Sanders finds that the 1% now own one-third of all wealth, while the bottom half of Americans hold only 2%. It's another sign of the slide into oligarchy that Sanders had warned for years. And it says that between 1989 to 2019, the CBO reports the total real wealth adjusted for inflation held by all families in the United States tripled from $38 trillion in 2019 dollars to $115 trillion, or about five times the national GDP. The fruits of that growth, however, have accrued heavily to those at the top. As of 2019, the richest 10% of families held an astonishing 72% of this wealth, while those in the top 1% held more than a third. The appalling asymmetry of these developments is underscored even more strongly by the CBO's findings vis-a-vis the bottom half of all American families, who now hold a mere 2% of the country's total wealth. So what's going on is all this talk about parties, Democrat, Republican, all this stuff is owned, is controlled, and the oligarchy own everything, and everybody who think they have a place in a side going in this camp and that camp don't realize they're all being played. And
wow.
So
okay.
I don't hear the Republicans or the constitutionalists talking about this disparity. In fact, what I hear you constitutionalists do is you defend the rights of these ultra-rich at the expense of everybody else at the bottom.
We're too busy being racist.
Okay.
And you're going to keep getting what you get. You're going to keep getting what you're getting politically.
Brother Warren,
hurry
up, Brother Warren, because I'm going to have to mute you again because of you cut people off, and you did promise me you were going to boycott the show tonight. So what's that?
You just hate me, huh, Sally?
What do you expect from a Democrat? They never tell the truth.
Huh, Sally?
Okay. No, I muted him because he says nonsense. I don't have a problem. Bernie Sanders is up there with the money. where do you think Bernie Sanders is? That's what
I know.
So, I don't dispute the crap that's going on with the rich taking over so much of this stuff. That's because we don't follow the Constitution, and we keep electing the same people in there. So it's all part of the process. So you want me to argue with you, but I'm not going to argue with you on some of the stuff. But you want to antagonize, you want to cause disruption and more. The sad part is you don't want to. You interrupt and you're very rude to other people, and you put insulting comments out in the chat. I've seen some of the stuff, but I'm not going to respond to it because it's just silliness. I would like to have an intelligent conversation, which is what I tell you every time. And you really did. I've got witnesses. You said you were going to boycott my show tonight. So anyway, so I've given you more time than what you're entitled to after you said you were going to boycott it. Now, with all of that being said, I think we've summarized enough as to why we would not want Ron DeSantis is not the candidate. He's not going to be a solution for us. So that is bad news. Now, Cindy, are you still out there? I see you out there, but I don't know if you can hear me. I haven't heard from you, or if you're on mute, if you're talking on mute or something. So, Cindy, if you're still there and you want to chime in one more time, please speak up, and then we'll go around the table. Now, let's see. We got Joe, as in Joe from North Carolina, not John Doe, but Joe. What are your final thoughts for the day? Because what do we do to take care of? What do we do to save this election? Because it truly is the election. How much can, at the local level, you have more options to change who's elected at the local level, even though it's corrupt too. But what if we don't change the POTUS, if we don't change that key seat up there and some of these people in the Senate and stuff, I don't know what happens to the rest of us regardless of what we do at the state level, local level. So,
Each state, like I said it earlier on in your show, like, for instance, all of you down in Florida, get together, let's put our heads together, see what laws and codes or statutes you have on the books there that govern your county and state board of elections, and see what we can do before the 2024 election, see what we can do, and see what the loopholes we can get, you know, put if we put our heads together. There's one funny thing about codes and statutes and all these silly UCC laws they have. They all go in circles, you know, and there's always a loophole. You can always beat them at their own game. You can use their own codes and statutes against them. And every time, if you know, the same way they go after you. They don't beat you with the law. They beat you with procedure. They don't beat you with procedure. They beat you with the law. You do the same thing with them. And then when you do find that loophole, we get together. We pull everybody, all resources together, all blog talk show hosts, everybody, and we put pressure on these counties that you want to work on first and try to change the voting structure and the security of the voting structure to make sure you have a secured election there. It can be done. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it, the security elections, and get the people in there lawfully and honestly. If not, it's going to be rigged, like you said, Sally. It's going to be rigged again. And what's the point? And unless we do get a landslide win, like somebody else said. I forgot who said that. But that's the only way. We got to put our heads together, and we need to start now. Start looking up the codes and statutes, doing your research. If we're all smart people here, you know, and we can figure out a way to get this done. And we have voices. We have a powerful voice. We have the Internet. We're blog talk show hosts. We know people. We have connections. I'm running for office. You have connections, like Suzette out there. She's got connections. She's very active. Everybody is. We put our heads together, and then we make our voices known, and we start contacting these people, emailing officials, and saying, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. This needs to change so we can have safe, secure elections. And then we do start first in your state, and then we go to my state maybe, or go to California, go wherever, you know, and so on and so forth. And that's how we do it. Start the ripple effect. That's a good issue for us to tackle. You know, the election integrity process and the process of the elections, because that's what we're really always talking about. So I think that's a good place to start for us to tackle. I yield.
And I really do think we need to get aligned with Mike Lindell and his group, because they definitely have the network that's out there. Somehow we've got to take advantage of what's already there and add to what they're already doing, because he's obviously been such a key person, patriot, to go out there and be going after these machines and stuff like that.
Sure.
So that's what I'm going to make my attempt to get it more aligned with whoever he has here working in Florida to help us out. What's that?
Sure. I say good. That sounds great.
Oh, okay. 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 I thought you were following up with something else. And let's see, John Doe, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What would you like to share as we wrap up this call?
I kind of put a ditto on what Joe and you were just speaking about, and definitely kind of coordinates with what I brought up on Joe's show a couple weeks ago. And part of the issue, which I'm not sure how to get around, is that, in my humble opinion, I think that people listening, we don't feel comfortable with all of the direction or the ideology of what we hear. And so there's a hesitance to jump in and be all in on whatever it is. But if you isolate the issues and try to get us all on the, you know, working together on the individual issues, we might get more work done. But you kind of get to the point, and I brought this up on Joe's show too, back when he had the Republic of for the United States people on. I'm not interested in helping a particular group of people get elected, and then I find out I'm just trading one group of thugs for another group of thugs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. But and Joe, go ahead and mention your show too. But the Restore the Republic. This was going into what do we do to take back the government? Basically, I believe is what the intention was at that time. But you can say anything else on that one, Joe, and and your show.
Yeah. So, well, Restoring Our Republic. My show is on Tuesday, 7 p.m. And as everyone knows, if you're listening to all these podcasts, we're trying to get all the podcasts or as many podcasters together as we can to unify our voice and our podcast platform to condense it into one like a laser beam and focus on the corruption one issue at a time. And like John Doe just said, and not be scatterbrained all over the place, here, 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 there. And then we're uncomfortable and insecure with tackling an issue. Let's all just focus on one thing. Listen, if we win one and then we win another, just think it'll be like a domino effect. We could start really building momentum and be a real solid voice. We have the opportunity here to make a change. We have an opportunity to stand up and fight lawfully to make a change in this country, in our local areas. We have the voice, we have the technology, we have the tools, we have the platform. They haven't stripped us of all our rights yet. So let's use it. Let's use it and use our brains. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, Restoring the Republic.
And I will be there tomorrow. I have every intention of joining the call tomorrow. Okay, thank you so much. It's been an excellent discussion here. And I really think maybe that's what the key of what we've said here tonight. And then, Joe, we can follow up on this tomorrow on your show, too. It's like we focus on the election integrity, taking back the ballot box, the Battle of Athens. This is going to be the battle for America, taking back our ballot box and taking back our elections. Because, truthfully, the other stuff doesn't matter. We're not going to change anything with this immigration garbage that they're doing with the people that are in office today. We already know that. There are some of them that are trying to do some impeachment, but we know McCarthy won't do anything. He's a uniparty. So when you think about who's in there today, what they're going to do today, what's going to happen between now and 2024, sure, go ahead and reach out to your elected and tell them what you want as far as how they should vote or you oppose, whatever. You know, continue doing all those kind of things. But when it comes to saving this country, focus on the election. If we do not do something to protect that ballot box in 2024, because I think most of us truly believe, just like in 2020, Trump was reelected. It was through the corruption of the ballot box that, and through the COVID and the electronics and everything else, the 2020 election was stolen. Trump should have been reelected. With that being said, they're going to try to do the same thing again. If we don't do something to restore that election, then it really, the other stuff doesn't matter. The border will never be sealed. China has already taken over. Now, I have to be honest, and we're running out of time here, but I have to be honest, if we go and we reelect Trump, which is, I believe, as I started to say, most of us on this call know Trump was elected in 2020. He will be reelected again, except depending on all the other crazy things they try to do, and who knows, even threaten his life, who knows what they would do because they don't want him. The globalist, the communist, Marxist, they do not want him in there. He totally derailed all their plans. In 2016, totally derailed the plans. So they're going to do everything they can to stop him. But most of us know he will win by a landslide if the election is honest. If we don't have crazy insanity things like Florida trying to block him from being on the ballot, the primary ballot, these kind of insane things. So I really think, maybe, Joe, and that's what we talk about tomorrow, focus on the election. We don't worry. These other issues, whatever, you can do in your part-time, spare time, whatever, but we've got to make a dedicated effort to take back that ballot box. Otherwise, the rest doesn't matter.
Sally,
it really doesn't.
Can I add? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wanting to know
if I
could add one last thing. Yeah.
Sure.
Back in 20 – actually, I don't know if you remember. You remember Bard's Logic, Robert?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I haven't been listening to a show lately, but yeah, I know him,
I think he quit doing his show. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it for quite some time. But the reason I'm bringing this up is there, Jim Condit Jr., guy, he's in his 70s, I think, but he started these projects on trying to get the integrity in the elections back in the 70s or so, if I remember right. But he had election night gatekeepers. He had watchthevoteusa.com, networkamerica.org, precinctstrategy.com. These are just groups that do this type of stuff already, and I didn't know if you were still privy to that or not, and I just wanted to introduce it to people, because we've had people that's tried to get groups and all of us together to do this for quite some time, and he's been working on this since the 70s. You ought to get him on your show. If you go to Election Night Gatekeepers or networkamerica.org, you can find Jim Connett Jr. and get him on to talk about it, because, I mean, he's very knowledgeable and knows a lot about this stuff, and anyway, thank you for the time.
What's his name again?
Jim Condit Jr.
Okay, we're about to lose it. Can you? Okay, I'm sorry. Say the name again.
Jim Condit Jr. He's got Election Night Gatekeepers. He's part of Network. He started these programs, networkamerica.org and Watch the Vote USA. They're the ones that I know he's directly. Matter of fact, openlettertodonaldtrump.com. Go to that. He tells you exactly how to make the system better and tried to get Trump to follow it. But anyway, it's just food for thought. But if you go to openlettertodonaldtrump.com or Election Night Gatekeepers, look up Jim Connett Jr., and there's phone numbers and stuff there.
Okay, I will definitely do that. And also True the Vote is another group out there. True the Vote, Mike Lindell, and then this guy. We bring these groups together, we should be able to get some massive communication going out there. So thank you so much. I'm not sure. It looks like everybody probably got cut off. I'm surprised you can still hear me. But with that being said, thank you, everybody. Hopefully something's being recorded here. And we will talk again next week. Be good to each other. God bless America. Please say a prayer for our country. Say a prayer for America. And let's get back to who we're supposed to be. Did I hear Joe still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here. All right. God bless. Take care. Good show.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, same to you all. Good night.